This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
The process is complete. Host on-air candidate forums. Qualified voters will receive their ballots in the mail starting October 16th. Completed ballots will be due by November 15th. Pacifica's principles require that we strive to achieve diversity, and voters are urged to consider that in casting their votes. This is KPFT Houston.
6 members of the Pacifica National Board have proposed an amendment to the Pacifica bylaws that would expand the allowable number of at-large members elected by the board from 1 to 2, and thus increase the maximum possible size of the board from 23 to 24 members. The amendment would also remove the February 15th annual deadline for the local delegate assemblies to nominate such at-large candidates. This amendment will be voted on by the Pacifica National Board at its June 2nd through 4th meeting in New York, and also by each station's delegate assembly, 3 of which must pass it by majority vote of their members. For the full text of this amendment, go to pacifica.org or call 713-526-4000 and ask to have a copy sent to you. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston, and the world, welcome to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on KPFT. Oh, there is something flying around in here. I was just flashed, and not in a good way. There's a bug in here. This is After Hours. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your producer for this evening. Jimmy Carper is still recuperating, so he is still hiding at his place, but he is better. He's out actually leaving his apartment nowadays. So, he...
I saw him in the corner.
Well, what's his saying? Since 1975, he hasn't gone up in price. ask him nicely, he'll show you where his car... Oh, there we go. That's why you sounded low.
Who, me?
Yeah. That's one thing I get used to again with Saturday nights. The two shows before, they bring on the turntables and mix the music. And the way the board is set up, the turntables is these two microphones as well.
Ah.
So.
Well, you don't like to listen to me anyways.
We started off the show with the gay pimp with his song Soccer Practice in honor of World Cup coming up. I'm a soccer fan. I can't help it. So I've got two teams I'm rooting for. So,
which two?
Yeah.
U.S. is in it and Poland.
Poland?
I'm Polish descent. So, yeah. But then again, Poland is up against Germany, and you know the last time Poland was up against Germany, well, we all know what happened then.
Yeah.
But that was several years ago, so things may change.
But they're in Germany this time.
Yeah, it's a different type of invasion, but we're here. It's the first weekend of the month, so it is the 3rd, Saturday, June 3rd, and my goodness, that means we are 4 weeks away from Pride. They're trying to take a picture in there. They're getting quiet. 4 weeks away? Only four?
It's like I've never seen Steven mess around with a headset so much.
4 weeks from Pride. 4 weeks from Pride.
And yeah, have they changed the back cover of the voice, or does it still say 7?
Thank you.
Oh.
Oops. Sorry, I shouldn't talk about Sovo West that way.
Are we being bad?
Usually.
Yeah. Okay.
Moving right along.
Since it's the first of the month, that means we have the Cults here.
Yay!
Followed up by Hatch.
Yay!
Once they finish out their wardrobe selections. And normally we would be following up with Binet, but Gigi is at a conference, I believe, so we will not be having Gigi this month, and I don't think we're getting Gigi again next month.
A big conference.
I would have never heard you say that.
But, you know, hey, we're used to it. At least we have some people showing up for the...
Not getting Gigi 2 months in a row.
But at least other people are here to talk. Last week it was Roy, me, and David. So that was...
You should have yelled for us. We would have come on again.
We had a lovely guest on that we played. We had Fred Phelps on the air last week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
Was that a live interview?
No, I was playing some of his videos that he's made. Explaining what his signs mean. So...
Explaining what his signs mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me an example.
Well, we play the one, you know, God hates fags, and explains, you know, how simple he thinks it is, of, you know, why and what it means. And it's like, whatever. And then, you know, that Bush is a fag pimp. So I wanted to hear it out of his mouth, and he's like, you know, I'm waiting for the one of his grandson to do one.
Bush is a fag pimp.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You know, they always say you can say at least one nice thing about everyone. You know, Fred Phelps doesn't like Bush either.
So, well, neither do I.
We have common ground we can stand on. But I digress.
And what's the first
one? You mean President Bush?
Yeah.
Oh. I was referring to a different kind of Bush.
That show's already left.
They were a good group. Have they put an album out?
All right, so
moving on.
We'll get to calendar. We'll get to the other calendar stuff I have, because, you know, some of the stuff may be. I've got to find some way to organize the stuff that comes in that doesn't involve printing out these sheets.
Well, you're talking for two now as well. So you...
Well, yeah, and Jimmy prints out all the sheets. And, you see, he gets all of his listing stuff of calendar events from, you know, what he sees on Lone Star Activist, what he gets through ICOH, and some of the other organizations that he's with. I do the Louie stuff.
Yeah.
I'm on the Louie Yahoo group, so that's what I go through, is I take all the files, and go, oh, we can talk about this one, and throw it in a different folder so I can read it off the screen.
Well, Louie's probably the biggest one, because if there's an event going on, it'll get posted on Louie.
Yeah, the other ones seem to have disappeared lately. I haven't seen any emails from them.
You mean like the Gay Houston one?
Yeah, Houston Community Calendar.
Yeah, that one. Gay Houston Community Calendar or something like that. There's,
yeah.
I don't see too much activity on that. I'm on that one too, and I very rarely get any updates on that.
Oh,
no scene.
Yes, we're not doing the live events now.
And I know it's not our event, but, you know, it's almost that time for Louie once again. Good grief. Pin and poster time.
Oh, yeah. I was supposed to talk about that.
Oh, were you? Uh-oh. Did I steal your line?
No, I remembered writing myself a note there at the last Louie meeting. Talk about the pin and poster contest.
August something.
The
unveiling.
Well, I believe the... They have to be submitted in June or July?
Hold on.
July.
You know, and I hate to say it, you know, I just got elected on the board last month, and I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going on. I'm a bad board member for HCC.
When you looked over at me, it's like, I can't say
I don't know anything about you.
And what's even worse, my husband is a chair dude, and I do not know what's going on.
I know nothing about pin and posters for Louis
that,
either.
That reminds me of another thing. If next week somebody offers you a special brownie or something at your event, okay, and it's a...
Cappuccino?
Well, whatever it is. Don't take it from Dominic, because he's planning on overthrowing you, not in your treasurer position, but in chair dudes.
Oh, he wants chair dude.
Uh-huh.
How much money does he have?
Not a lot.
Oh, he would never get them.
Well, if he brings his money down to, and it's a cult-related event, to the daddy auction, BOP daddy auction, he could probably wrench Scott.
That's a good idea.
I'll have to tell him.
I'll see if Scott will be willing to be up there as a daddy.
You know, if you'd like to see Scott Kenyon, chair dude of HCC, please send your emails to...
I'm not giving out his email address. You just opened up that kind of worms.
No, I was going to post it. If you post it to the Louie Weekend group.
There you go.
Go to Yahoo, join the Louie Weekend group. And
or just go to louieweekend.com. And
you join from there. And, you know, we could, I'm sure that public requests
You know, good to see the chair dude raising money for the community.
Not that he doesn't already.
Yeah. No, he does a lot of that.
He does a lot of that.
Yeah. The pen and poster contest deadline is July 19th.
Darn, you're good.
Artwork must be submitted on or before then. If it's not then there, if you don't have it then, you don't get in. Pen and poster contest is open to the public. Judging will be on the July 19th meeting by the HCC membership.
So and that will be at the Ripcord at 8 p.m. So,
and tentatively, the following week, or that weekend, we are going to have the kickoff party where we will unveil it. And
will that be that weekend?
It would the 23rd.
Tentatively.
Good grief.
Well, they're trying to get it in for Ace.
Sorry, Lloyd, I'll have that post duty tomorrow.
I thought you retired.
He's not going to retire.
No, I'm doing something for somebody else's show. I'm retired.
But no,
I have all those cocktail napkins with lots of ideas written on them, too.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess I'll have to do something.
So that's with Louis. Like I said, for more information and the details on that, you can go to, and also get the full guidelines, go to louisweekend.com and scroll down after the cutesy little graphic at the beginning telling you about the daddy auction.
Yeah, and please read the guidelines because, you know, not all posters can make it if it's not the three colors, of course, and have some of verbiage on the posters.
Yeah, I guess I'll just to help.
It's got to be, I believe, the green, gold, and purple.
Green, gold, and
must
purple.
Must contain or incorporate the comic and tragedy Greek.
Is that the poster?
Greek mask.
Poster doesn't have to have that.
No, the pin design.
Yeah.
Must state Louis or let us entertain you. The current year, whether it is 2007 or 34.
Right.
And must say Houston, Texas. Purple, gold, and green. The gold can be the metal of the pin. Poster contest must contain Houston Council of Clubs. Should recognize either the current anniversary year of Louis or the current year. And can contain anything pertaining. The poster can be anything pertaining to Louis Weekend.
You don't have to have the tragedy, comedy tragedy masks. It would be nice, as a hint to those of you who are working on your posters right now at home while you're listening to us, don't use any copyrighted material. Mm-hmm. That means don't go take it from somebody else and say, hey, I found this neat picture.
Yeah. But then again, if you go off the past things, remember, male anatomy always works.
Well, and with somebody asked me about a poster that was submitted in the past. You'd be surprised. Some of these websites, if you actually send them an email and tell them what you want to do with it, they'll give you their permission to use the picture.
Yep.
You'd be surprised. I have had two of those that where people said, all I did was ask, can I use your picture for this?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's an email, and that way you
may have to put on their photo courtesy of
or
so and so,
or if it's somebody's personal website, can I use your picture for this? It's not that big a deal.
So I like to do like a Playboy magazine cover where you have to find the bunny in the picture.
Ooh.
Try to find the comedy tragedy mask and the Louis poster.
Hey, I had a fun time discovering the not-so-subliminal image in the back of the pin until I'm sitting at work in front of my 20-inch monitor and the pin's blown up to the full size of the screen. I go, oh, my God!
You know, and
all of a sudden minimize. It's like...
Yeah, and he brought that to me at the bar. The first thing I did is I look, I'm going... Okay, I know what you did.
But there were others that took 20 minutes later and went, oh.
It took me several months. I was working on a banner ad that never got used. And I blew it up on screen and go, is that?
It sure is. And around corners, too.
Yeah, and then when I went over to my parents' house wearing the Louis shirt, my niece looked and she goes, what's that green thing? I went to the bathroom and turned my shirt inside out the rest of the day.
Well, I think Scott had the same problem because there was one of the magazines, and it wasn't I think it may have been Houston Press. I'm not sure which one, but they were like, yeah, we're going to run the picture of your pin on the cover. And Scott's like, you want to take a good look at that picture before you run it on the cover. And they're like,
oh, okay.
Oh. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, you either go to the website or show up at Louis 34, and you'll see people with pins on their vests or on their jeans.
Time to come up here right now.
And a special time offer. If you give a donation to Colt 45 and KPFT, we'll show you a Texas pinning.
Sure, it can be about donations. It, yeah, remember, because Louie's not just about the pins. I've had a couple of those.
What?
Do either one of you have pins? No.
I was going to go down to the 99-cent store, and they've got these Millennium pins. I figure by the time I'm behind and they figure it out, I'm done and gone.
Hit and run.
What's this Toronto 2000? But we're here to talk about the Colts.
Yay!
So you guys go ahead and talk, because I got to go over here and answer the phone.
Oh, cool.
Oh, we're going to talk? Okay, uh-oh. Steven, your turn.
Oh, boy. Hope that's not somebody telling me something.
You get to play Jimmy Carper.
All right. I could never play Jimmy Carper. Well, first of all, what would you like to talk about tonight?
Well, let's talk about our run, Stephen.
That's a personal matter, but we could talk about the Colt anniversary.
Okay.
That begins on June 9th, ends on June 11th, but June 9th, 10th, and 11th, we have all sorts of fun. Registration starts Friday night at the Ripcord.
8 p.m.?
8 p.m.
8 p.m.
Did I write 8 p.m.? Okay, yeah. 8 p.m. Yeah, I'll take your word for it. And then Saturday morning, we have a lovely set of games set up at Mary's to begin the day with a dunking booth.
Are you gaining?
I don't know. I mean, since Jimmy's not here, I was hoping we'd have a celebrity from KPFT come down and be in that dunking booth. Since we're in charge.
Chris has to have his headset on, so yeah. We can volunteer him right now.
Yeah, I think that would be really good.
That better be one hell of a big size dunking tank. You know, Six Flags has that act over in San Antonio.
But yeah, we have Ripcord 8 p.m. Friday night. Registration goes on to about 11 p.m. Saturday morning, we'll pick up registration again, 10:30 a.m. at Mary's. We're going to have a nice little breakfast there provided by ICOH. And lots of festivities. A lot of the local clubs are coming out and supporting us. Saturday afternoon, we'll be at EJ's. More games, more fun, more festivities. Saturday night is our big dinner at the BRB, provided by Arisa's, and dessert by the Big Men's Group. See, he's not paying attention again.
I heard. Keep it up. I'm trying to find your outro music.
Oh, okay.
Well, in addition to all that, you know, it only costs $20 if you get your application in before June 9th, and you can get your application online at www.colt45s.org. Or we've got a few applications that I put out here tonight, as well as a nice collector poster.
A collector's poster.
Well, you know, they're all collector's posters before, you know, somebody gets a hold of them.
Can we autograph them?
Oh, we could do that.
People want to autograph.
But $20, that gets, you know, that goes to help the Colt 45s continue their funds, the AIDS Trouble Fund, mm-hmm. and help people for rent utility assistance, as well as that also gets you a collector's 30-year pin.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't have one of those yet. I can't wait for this run. I want my pin.
I don't have a pin either. I don't think I'm going to get one.
So, Steven, tell us more about the Colt 45s. What do they do?
What do the Colt 45s do? Well, the Colt 45s is a 501c3 charity.
He's sober, guys.
Founded in 1976. It's not my fault. Four seasons. Love you, Glenn. Love you, Gene. What do we do? Well, we're a Western Leather Levi organization, but that doesn't mean we're just leather or just Levi's.
Sometimes we wear nothing at all.
That's true. Like right now.
You would not believe it. We put the patches then. Chris has got this look on his face.
He's got the headphones on. Don't want.
I haven't heard you screaming at a pinning on those events.
Nobody wants to see me naked, trust me.
But this is a weekend, not just a lot of anniversaries, this celebration, but a celebration for that organization, but a lot of it is a fun time for people to come out, because in the past we've had not only friends of the Colt 45s and different people from the community, but we've had some people that have benefited from the Colt 45s, and that's always nice to see when you can see people that you've been able to help
right.
and to get out and have a little fun.
So that's the beauty of our organization, is that we do get to actually see the people that we help. We see the effects of the money coming in. It's not being administered in a way that we don't see the results.
What you're doing is you're helping. I mean, some of the stuff what you do helps people keep roofs over their head.
Exactly.
Food in their refrigerator, in their cabinets.
And it's not assisted living. I think people always think that that's bad. It's assistance. Once they run out of a last resort, once they run out of their funds or that nobody else can actually help them, they come to us because they have to be referred to us in that they've gone to everybody else. So it's to help them out until they can get either get into a program someplace else, or to get help someplace else, or get back on their feet themselves. We've had a lot of, that's been nice in the past. A lot of clients have come back with thank yous. We've had people have turned around and given us donations that we've helped. They've got back on their feet. It's not just a one-way street all the time.
And all the money that we take in is 100% to the charity. No administrative fees is taken out of it. We are a total volunteer organization. We have about 10 active members at the moment. Got quite a few lifetime members scattered around the country that's very supportive of us and help us with our grant writings and stuff. But
hi, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
And Spook, if you're out there, we got your application. It's going to be good to see you.
But there's a few other things coming up. See, I'm acting like I'm drunk too.
I'm acting. So June is a whole plethora
of Colt 45 events. Yeah.
Yay!
Tell them more about June 17th. You can't read my handwriting. Okay, I'll talk about June 17th.
Oh, you mean the Brotherhood of Pain Daddy auction.
There you go.
I don't know anything about those. I wear open-toed shoes. They won't let me in the rip car.
Well, it will be at the rip cord, I believe.
But as long as you keep them above ear level, they usually allow
it. Is that what it is?
Yes. Yeah. Brotherhood of Pain Daddy Auction is on Saturday the 17th. Starts at 10:30. Should be a lot of fun. Colt 45s is the beneficiary of that organization.
Last time we were beneficiary, they had a nice show. Believe it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $2,000, I think.
Woohoo!
Commas are lovely.
Yes.
Oh, yes. It's nice. But it's $1 at a time. Oh, yeah. I'm going to steal that line from somebody. but it's one more dollar than you have, and it's also the awareness that people can have fun. When you can do an event where people can have just tons of fun, and they really do. BOP does a really good job. It's serious, but it's with a sense of humor.
Serious with a sense of humor.
And, you know.
I like that. I mean, a daddy auction is not, you just don't walk in off the street and auction that. You have to understand the concept
and,
of it.
Yeah, what you get with that daddy is you just, you know, get a little conversation, maybe a little drinky poo, and then, you know, anything's put on a little Manilow. and anything.
Manilow. Unless there's some new product they got over at LBB, I don't know of anything called Manilow that would.
I'm waiting for the boy auction because I need my house painted. So. It's like, what do you think was going to happen?
And those of you who are thinking about, there's no way I could ever do this daddy auction because I don't have the money. You can pool your money with friends and you can go in and bid on daddy together. Split a daddy. It's kind of a Dutch daddy weekend. You know, think about that.
I'm saving all my daddy songs till Father's Day. I've got a lovely set I'm starting off with.
I do want to give out, talk about one other thing. We got the parade coming up on the 24th.
What parade?
The Gay Pride Parade.
Oh, yeah.
Is there more initials in there somewhere?
I'm not going to.
Do we add initials or do we take them all off? I forget this. What do we do this year?
We set it out loud.
But the Colts will be in the parade.
Yes, we will.
And
it's been 7 years. We're back.
Oh, we're back. For the vengeance.
Statute limitations.
But also, there was one more thing I want to talk about here, and I can't find. Oh, I know what it was. Dee Dee DeMarco. I want to talk about Dee Dee DeMarco. Last year, she was Mother of Montrose. She did a show for us on the 14th. I want to give a shout-out to her.
Oh, yeah.
Thank her for the show at Mary's as Mother of Montrose. Her step-down show. She raised a good amount of money for us, which she has done all year long. We were her beneficiary as Mother of Montrose for last year. And we want to make sure that we give her a nice thank you for that.
Yay.
And the other events we've done in the past, we just got done doing the PWA camp out. Stephen and I went up there.
Hot Dog City.
Hot Dog City.
Yes, I heard of yours. I read of your contributions of driving all the way up there, feeding, and driving all the way back.
Yeah, and you didn't hear the whole story, though.
There was a little road maintenance on the way back.
Yeah, we kind of had a flat tire coming back. and me trying
right in front of a church. Is that a sign?
Yeah. And it's like all these people coming out of the church going, do you need help? Or they're going, we're not going to get railroaded, you know, two fags in the middle of the country.
You know? Yeah, we're just looking for a chapel to get married.
Oh, that would have scared them.
So we're like, no, we'll act butch and change our own tire.
I've got two lesbians and a power tools coming down.
And you should have seen us try to do it, too. That was the funny part, because, you know, the funny part is my husband, it was his truck, and he got a flat tire probably back in 6 months ago on the same truck, and Steven changed that tire, too.
Yeah, I'm an expert at that vehicle.
He's an expert on our Ford Explorer. But that's basically it as far as...
And we heard the banjo music, and we were getting excited, and nothing came from that either.
I was waiting for the people to come out of that church with snakes and everything else.
Oh, it was nice.
Hey, I still remember the one time I was driving a friend up to Cleveland, and we were going up 59, and I looked over, and I saw all these flags on the side of the road. I go, it's a weird time for a pride parade, but it was all American flags and that. And I go, it's a weird area to be doing some sort of parade. And I got a little closer and realized everyone was wearing the same outfit.
White?
Yeah.
All right.
So it was like, I was planning on hanging a U-turn. I had two gay guys in the back. I said, you guys start making out or I'm going to go pull the front of them.
Speaking of making out, that reminds me of one thing we forgot.
Aren't those actually dunce caps?
Oh, yeah. But yeah,
Okay, for all you KKK people listening, I'm sorry.
And, just talk to your old members. They'll tell you where the transmitter is. You've blown it up twice.
Yeah, GKK. We have a couple surprise shows going on that weekend. We have two cult members doing a surprise show Friday night at EJ's, and we have another surprise show with a couple of cult members involved in with the Shameless, Daddy of Montrose,
at ICOH.
Mary's. Yeah, ICOH. It's a whole conglomeration. A lot of people. We got bears involved, and you know when you get bears involved in anything, well then you know. Bears and cowboys and drag queens.
Oh my!
And Leathermen. What more do you need? You know you've and lesbians. You've got it all there in just one schmear. On yes. That bagel. It's just
sounds like the show of shows without the 3 days of drinking ahead of time.
Yeah, it's a community bagel with a nice smear of...
Well, we do have a lot of people coming out to support us this coming up weekend. We have the Fire Dancers, Brotherhood of Pain, Misfits, NOA, Houston Area Bears, Whip Society, Sundance Cattle Company, PWA Holiday Charities, Houston Leather Boys, the Big Men's Group, ICOH, Arisas. Did I miss anybody?
Actually, we're club.
Club?
Yeah.
Oh. If you try Big Men's Club?
Yeah. Houston Big Men's Club.
Oh, Big Men's Club. Oh.
I'll change the invitation. Sorry.
Well, no, it's just that people listening and try and find us on the web. They're not going to find us in the group.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Big Men's Club.
Yeah, we couldn't abbreviate our organizational name because there's actually a company out there that's got HBMC.
HBMC? Okay.
Yeah, I've heard of them before.
So we couldn't. So the names of our groups are huge and long and not in a good way.
Huh.
Let's see. Not that.
We miss you, Jimmy. Speaking of huge, long, and anyone, never mind.
Not in a good way.
Oh, no.
Well, hopefully he's getting better. So.
Yeah, if he's not listening, he's got the tape he'll eventually listen to.
Well, you know, he's a consummate professional. I always believe that if he can't play, you know, he's not going to just listen.
No, he records every show
well
on a VHS tape.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah. The show is recorded on a video, on a VCR.
Oh, wow.
Really?
See, we were talking about that today. What am I going to do with all that beta porn?
That's our
you
prize.
Need to find a master for it.
That's going to be our prize next weekend for the Colts.
A collection of beta porn.
Beta porn and a Betamax. You know my husband still has a Betamax. The guy doesn't throw anything away.
And any of you who want to bid on that guy who doesn't
know. Well, I've got a, what one, I've got your outro music that has to do with that.
Outro?
I'm sure Scott would probably, you know, for the giggles, go up there and be in the auction.
Well, we can play this song for it then. This was a song, a mental telepathy dedication that I got for actually for you, Falcon.
Oh, yeah. And the nice part is Scott actually refuses to listen to the radio show when I'm on because he knows I'm saying horrible things about him.
Let's play Dialing for Daddies. Nine from the top. We always work from the top for daddies.
Nine's a good place to start. Oh.
I was going
to
say, you need more than nine.
So, we've got all the events. One last thing, Colt 45s. It's colt45s.org.
Mm-hmm.
To find out information if you need assistance, want to drop some cash if you can't make it to the event.
Well, let's
contribute.
Or even if you just want to say, heck, you know, what the heck do you do? Or,
yeah.
Yep. You know, how can we help? You know, we always look for people to help, not monetarily, not even as a member.
And Steve is going to give you all the information on where you can contact us right now.
Hey, that's my goodness.
Jimmy would be so proud you guys finally brought crib notes.
Oh, that's right. We always bring crib notes, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say we always bring our crib notes to KPFT Radio that listens to you, 90.1. And we love you. We love you a lot.
See, just saved you a whole.
45s Incorporated, P.O. Box 66804. Our hotline number is 713-526-6077. And once again, our website is colt45s.org, 45s.org. And we have links off the Louis Weekend website. And
I handed him that just to see if which eye he had to cover up to read the card.
Well, there's a long story. You know, I got something in my eye tonight. You know, I thought
it was a duck when it comes flying out at you like that.
Well, you know.
You'll shoot your eye out.
It almost was. It was an ice fight at the Four Seasons party tonight. I'm not going to be bitter. Because I did take my glasses off when I went in. That's my mistake. Because my contacts were bothering me, and I took my glasses off because I thought they made me look old. And, you know, anyway.
Oh, you think it's the glasses?
Oh, no. Hey, you know, you just stretch it out a little bit. It's not wrinkled.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. And Falcon, like I said, this was a song that mentally, telepathically, somebody dedicated the song to you.
To me, okay.
Yes, yes. I'm leaving your mic on till you hear the line.
I'm stumbling back in the club. I'm sweaty and kind of dazed. My shirt's untucked and my hair's messed up. But I got a smile on my face. I just did your ball break.
Hatch is up next.
I just did your ball break.
here's one. Become what you've always wanted to be. Your new body awaits you at gym. Go ahead.
Is there something wrong with your old one?
Right here. Okay. This is it. Page 37, our local gay newspaper. Laser hair removal. Price is starting at $99. Botox, collagen, Symetra, microderm abrasion, laser treatment for wrinkles, dark marks, unwanted tattoos, red faces, and broken blood vessels, mole removal, glycolic chemical peels, acne, facials, eyelid surgery, brow lift, facelift, scar revision.
Scar revision.
That's interesting.
That was Mark Weigel, Love Your Body Like It Is, from his CD Out of the Loop. And before that, a little dedicated song to our previous, to our past guest there from the Colts, I Just Did Your Boyfriend by the Bootlickers. Intriguing music. It's time now. It is bringing in a little late, but it's Hatch. You're on.
Howdy. Hey.
Don't all talk at once. Don't be enthusiastic.
Okay, I'm going to start out with a couple of announcements, obviously, because I have to. So, the Hatch Prom is definitely coming up. It's this coming Friday at the Magnolia Ballroom. It starts at 7, and it's going to go until midnight. Anyone can come. If you're under 21, you get in free. And if you're 21 and over, it's $25. So come out and see us. It'll be a great time. Theme is Moulin Rouge this year, guys. Totally have fun. Other announcements. The Uncommon Legacy Scholarship Foundation deadline is June 15th. So if you need to get your scholarships in, you need to do that soon. I think that's the only announcement other than the Hatch phone number. If you need to get in touch with any of the Hatch workers, the number is 713-529-3590. If you need to call and ask for directions or want to come to a meeting or need more information about prom, go ahead and call. Now we're going to go ahead and say our names and get started.
I'm Travis.
Pam.
Amber.
I'm Sean.
I'm Brendan. I'm an adult facilitator for Hatch.
Alrighty, so we're going to talk about prom a little bit. It's going to be freaking awesome. And we've had a couple of dykes pretty much plan the whole thing. But it did
Don't
still
worry,
be cool.
I'm going in there to do the whole like.
Oh, you're a fucking dyke too. Doesn't matter. Oh, well.
It'll be a lot of fun.
It should be fun.
And I'm not a dyke either. But thank you.
You act like a dyke.
How many of you have been to prom?
Me, actually. I went last year.
You've been to prom? Great.
I went to prom. It was fun.
Yeah.
There was balloons.
I went to a prom, but not Hatch prom.
Oh, so this will be your first.
Yeah, but see, we can't even have balloons this year.
Oh,
that's okay. Doesn't that suck?
We got to find a way to make it fun, then.
Okay, right. If balloons are what fun. Make the night for you, Sean, then we know what to get you for your birthday.
Sweetie, who knows what kind of balloons he's talking about?
What was different between the Hatch prom and your traditional high school prom?
My high school prom? Well, Hatch prom was a lot more fun, and I went with a real date instead of my good friend, Sean. So,
Sean and Pam made the cutest couple. Seriously. I've seen the little prom pictures and they're absolutely cute. I'm a little jealous of Sean. I wanted to be Pam's pretend boyfriend.
You know you could have been, alright?
Okay.
Anyway.
But I'm excited about Hatch Prom though, because like I've never been to a gay prom.
Are you going?
I'm going to try to go.
What do you mean try to go?
That's a very bad weekend for me. I have to be in Fort Worth, so I'll try.
For work.
That's in Texas, right?
Yes.
Yes, it's okay. Just outside of Dallas.
Oh.
Well, Hatch Prom, like I said, Moulin Rouge is our theme. If anyone wants to come and help build stuff for prom, we're going to be meeting at the church. We're going to be meeting at the Hatch location on that Friday morning. So if you guys want to come, I'm not sure exactly the time, but you should call the Hatch number and we'll get you set up there. Otherwise, you can come tomorrow and we're going to be building some of the stuff for Hatch.
And if you prom. Do that, you're also welcome to come to prom, too.
Or anyone's welcome to come to prom, actually.
Yeah, anyone's welcome to come, but if you help build, I'll love you even more.
Right.
Because I don't want to do it by myself.
Aw, poor Pam.
I know. Poor Pam. Anyway.
It's going to be a week. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a month from now.
No, totally a week from now.
So, Sean, are you going to the prom? Are you going to prom?
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Good.
Are you taking a date?
That's where I was going, actually. as if you guys had.
I have to find somebody. Because my date had a boyfriend last year.
Oh, God.
And I want it to be real this year.
So, Amber, what about you? What about me? Are you going to prom? Oh, yeah, I'm dragging you. Who's your date, though? Which one are you taking both of?
Which one are you taking? I love that question.
Might be taking both of them.
Give me five.
Show up on one on each arm. Maybe.
See, I'm not the only one.
No, you're just... Never mind. too many bad things already. I don't know, because I don't know if I'm going to go with a date, because I have a feeling I'm going to be on patrol all night. It's going to suck.
So what is your case, patrol? You mentioned that twice now.
Like, because...
making sure, like, Sean doesn't get out of line.
Pretty much making sure nobody...
No, Pam can't come in the men's restroom.
No, drugs are allowed at Hatch Prom.
It's basically the same rules at prom.
Well, I know, but
Hatch,
but in the past we've had a problem with people...
Except Hatch Prom, you can actually bring someone who's old enough to be your dad.
Or mom, shut up.
Oh.
okay, let's move on from that one.
No, but
not that that's encouraged.
You're gonna be walking around making sure like people don't think it's too close.
No,
leave room for Jesus. That's what they used to tell us at church dances:
hey,
is leave room for Jesus.
Travis, let me explain. Maybe you'll know. No, actually, by what I mean by that is that we have to go around and make sure everything's going smoothly, like the DJ's okay, and there's
burning a table
out and all this stuff. And I don't know if I'm having to do that because they didn't tell me yet. But
oh, there'll be volunteers there to do that. You have fun.
Well, I knew there were last year, but I know that Colleen had mentioned to me that she didn't get to do a whole lot of have a whole lot of fun last year because she was kind of, well, a lot of things, but busy doing other stuff for Hatch, so.
No, you have fun. There'll be volunteers to take care of that other stuff.
But if I don't have a date, I don't really care what I do. Plus, too sexual or dancer to be a...
Someone's codependent.
What the heck? Anyway, what about you, Trav? Is...
Well, I mean, I don't even know if I'm going yet. I'm going to try.
Who are you picking out of the basket this month?
Hey,
stop.
We should go as a straight couple,
not
you and me.
Cute.
Oh, you have to do that at the regular prom.
I already had mine, though.
See, I went with my ex to his prom in suburbia.
Oh, nice.
That was cute. Worst night of my life. I wasn't big on that. Like, I skipped my last year of high school because I didn't care about prom and stuff like that. So, certainly didn't want to go to his. But I had to. I don't know. I probably wouldn't go with a date if I did go.
Anyway, it's not about who you take to prom, it's who you take home.
Ooh.
Oh, sorry.
Sean.
You could meet someone that you
at
someone
prom.
Knew. Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
Well, if you're still dating someone, you can't, but...
Right.
You know, whatever.
Or you could do what my date did. No, I'm kidding.
Sean.
Okay,
then
new subject.
After prom. Anyway, okay, yeah, new subject. So,
we've been having a lively debate this year.
Yes, we've had a lively debate and a very long debate and talk about the categories within the GLBT community.
I think it's just one category that we've been talking about, but yeah.
Okay. Why don't you mention that one for us, Travis? You're the enemy here, sorry.
I'm not the enemy. I'm just a little more conservative than you guys, I guess. I was just mentioning that I have kind of a problem with the way certain gay guys dress, whereas they don't wear much. And if they do wear clothes, it's like girls' clothes, and I just don't really understand that. And I've been getting attacked all night long for it.
Just because you don't understand doesn't make it wrong.
That's right. That's right. Straight people have
very
said for
true.
A long time about gay people.
Well, and I know. And I do not have internalized homophobia for the 80 millionth time. Everyone accuses me of that.
Travis, you do, though.
But I don't
have... And we can get help for you.
I'm like Mr. Gay. I'm a professional gay. Not
me too,
internalized homophobia.
No, but I think my favorite comment of the night was definitely that acting and dressing and talking straight means that you're...
Coward.
What did he say? A coward.
I never said that. That was someone else.
Not you. Yeah, but I was like, you know what? I look straight. I act straight a lot. That doesn't mean that I'm straight or that I'm a coward.
I agree.
Some angsty straight girl.
I mean, like, I just don't understand where the whole desire to look like a girl comes from.
Do you know what the desire to be straight or to be with someone of the opposite sex is?
Yes.
You do? Okay.
Right, that's basic human nature.
Right, okay.
But see, I don't think that being gay gives you a pass to be as effeminate as you want to be. And I think that these kids are really, like, saying, I'm doing this because I'm gay. And that's how they justify it. Well, that's not right. Because that's such a blanket statement that it's really not fair to the rest of us for them to say, I'm gay, therefore I'm going to wear a shirt that comes up above my belly button. And I'm going to wear jeans that are for women. And I'm going to wear makeup because I'm gay.
Well, think about the young gay youth who are like, don't you think they're influenced by a lot of things? And when it's hard for them to, like, I guess... Well, think about this. They'll see a girl with a guy, and if they're not out to a lot of people and they finally meet people, they think, oh, I can be like a girl who's with a guy too, you know?
Or you have to think about the six stages of coming out. I mean, there's the coming out to yourself and accepting it, and coming out to other people step by step, and then going from, you know, your circle of yourself, and then your immediate family, and then your friends, and then your coworkers, and all of these people that you're coming out to. And there's different ways of doing that. And some people will go straight from, hey, you know, I'm gay, and being completely what we would call in our society normal, to saying, hey, you know, I'm the most feminine thing.
Oh, right, like the guys who come out of the closet and bring the parade with them.
Well, what's wrong with that? I mean, for a long time, straight guys couldn't wear tight jeans
or
Gucci shirts or Versace shirts or jeans without being called gay. And straight guys wanted to do that, and over a period of time they did, and now we label them metrosexual. So now it's okay for them to dress that way and still be straight. Well, so what's wrong with the gay community being more open and allowing members of their community to express themselves creatively, differently, without being judged? And I think the gay community as a whole does that. They allow that freedom to happen more so than the straight world. So what's wrong with that?
My problem is the people who use their sexuality. Like, if you want to say, I do this because I'm Nelly, then fine, I'll accept it. I do this because I'm girly, fine. Don't do it. Don't say it's because I'm gay, because that's not fair to me. And it's those same people who are always chastising me for not being gay enough. Because I have a drawl sometimes. Or, you know, just whatever it is at the moment. And, like, it's because they are the ones who are stereotyping gay people. Not me.
Well, you are also, though. But
no,
everyone's
like,
stereotyping
something. Right. But to me, gay people is not all one thing. And it's these people who dress this way and act this way that it is. That you have to be that or you aren't gay.
So are you saying that maybe they feel this way, and so they feel like if they don't dress this way, they won't be accepted within the gay community, and that's why they're doing it? Because I think that's some of that.
I think it's some of it, but I think the thing that bugs me about them, though, is their whole outlook on it is, I do this because I'm gay, and you don't do it, therefore you're not gay enough.
Well, I think that's wrong. That's certainly wrong.
I'm gay enough for everybody else, you know.
I think the majority of gay people don't fit into that category. The majority of gay people that I know are dressed more professionally appropriate, the way you would think in a non-Nelly way. I'm trying not to be offensive here, and I'm struggling for words.
Oh, well, there's been, throughout the years, there's been what they call stereotypical, you know, mannerisms. There are certain, you know, I'll try to remember to bring it the next time if I can find the book. It's not the Gay Almanac. It's the Homo Handbook. That was published several years ago. I picked it up. And there's a section there showing you, you know, what you're supposed to dress like.
Yeah, I have
for
that
certain
book
things.
Too.
And, you know, it has a picture of a person. And there are certain certain ways that people look at it, and that's how they have to, how they see they fit into society. You know, the show, the segment we had before you, they classify themselves as a Leather and Levi organization, which means when they get together as members, they are wearing either jeans, or it's a country western theme, or have like a little leather vest. And there's certain segments to that, and not everybody, you know, doesn't fit into those little stereotypical thing. You know, I mean, yeah, some person can be the flamboyant, outgoing type. You know, look at me. If I'm walking down the street, I'm surprised if anyone's going to yell at the car window driving past me yelling fag.
Yeah.
It's happened, though. I was impressed, but...
pretty good. No, that's pretty good gaydar.
But... yeah. But that's, I mean, there are certain aspects in the community where you're going to get that. But you'd get that sort of thing in the straight community as well.
Right.
So, I mean, there's part of it that's, I think, is I had to turn on my mic because I have to tell everyone, you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 down on Galveston Island. Always the World Wide Web at kpft.org, where you can find archives of all of our shows. And once I get back to doing it, on the myspace.com site, we'll be having the... We put the playlist up there. You should have seen his eyes rolling.
MySpace. MySpace yeah. is one of my little...
Yeah.
Peeves there.
Peeves, yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's one of the few things about Fox News that gets a lot of attention that's in the news. It is Fox. It's owned by Fox News, you know.
Yeah.
So, no, we just use it to do their blog. I haven't done it for the past couple of weeks. Put the playlist of the music we do.
Oh, very cool.
And links from the organization. So, like, there'll be one there. So someone can click on it and say, here, go to Hatch. Get information on that.
Fabulous.
But, like I said, it's just... After doing it for 3 weeks and trying to do HTML at 3 o'clock in the morning...
Fun.
Because I was crazy enough to do links to artists on there.
Yeah, I bet that took a long time.
Yeah. Thank goodness for cut and paste. So,
but I think most gay people are what you would classify as straight acting or straight appearing or just normal regular people, and it's the flamboyant ones that everyone thinks of when you hear gay, and I think that might be the heart of your issue.
I think the heart of my issue really is the fact that I get stereotyped by the extremely effeminate ones.
Because actually, your nickname is Straight Boy, so...
Yeah, I personally think I'm as queer as a football bat. I really do. And, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
There's a bat as football?
What? No, and that's football bat.
And that's,
which makes it so weird.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that if you looked at me, maybe you wouldn't know I was gay. But the instant I open up my mouth and start talking... I don't know, I just pictured daffodils coming out of my mouth. But, and yeah, I don't have any problems with that. Like, I don't try and butch myself up or anything, but I get harassed all the time about listening to Kenny Chesney, or, you know, watching sports on television, or, you know, other straight stuff I do.
Well, you know, there's a lot of lesbians who get stereotyped for the same thing, or, you know, people are upset with them for not loving football and not wanting to go camping every weekend.
You mean you don't have a Katie Lang's new CD?
It's like, I don't think, not since I left high school have I felt like I was stereotyped by straight people. I mean, in high school I had the girls telling me, you're not gay enough, why won't you go shopping with me? I seriously, like, had girls coming up to me in high school like, oh, you're gay, do you want to go shopping? I'm like, no, but we can go to a baseball game if you want. But, you know, so to not be stereotyped like that for so long, and then to meet these gay people who do it to me, when everyone I know, most of my friends are straight, and... I'm the only openly gay person at work other than my boss. You know, I don't deal with stereotypes often. And then to go to gay places and get stereotyped and chastised for not being gay enough. Yeah, it's just silly. Like, I'm certainly gay enough for the bigots who want to hate me. Why am I not gay enough for my own people?
Maybe you shouldn't listen to them. They obviously don't know what they're talking about.
Well, I mean, that's
but
true.
But it doesn't get
they
to
don't.
Them, though.
Well, yeah, I think that's equally as offensive, actually.
Like, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. That is the that is a case in point of the argument.
I'm sorry, I have to agree with you. That show bugs me.
Did you ever see the episode where they made over the gay guy?
No.
And the whole time it was like, are you really gay? They kept asking him that. Because he didn't own designer clothes. And he liked eating grilled cheeses and, you know, just like normal food.
Well, their whole concept of that show was taking the stereotypical view and expounding upon it. You know, I mean, that... Look at the fact, I think that's part of the reason why, you know, they replaced the culture vulture to J. Rodriguez because, you know, he was a little more flaming than the first guy they had on there. There actually was another person that was in the vulture, the culture position, and he did the test, and they got rid of him, and they showed the episode a couple weeks later of the one person saying, hey, you know, the reason why you see an African American as part of the Fab Five is because we got rid of him before they brought in Jay. But that, I mean, that's the culture of what we get there, is the fact that what we're seeing out in the public is Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, Queer as Folk, the L Word, Will and Grace.
Will and Disgrace.
And so, you know, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of stuff plays on it, you know.
Yeah.
We tease about, you know, the Pride Parade is coming up. And no matter how clean cut everyone, you know, dresses up and behaves and does all that, you turn on to Pat Robertson's show, and you'll see two guys that look like they walked off of a pride float in 1975 with the greasy mustache and the white t-shirt and the jeans, because that's what the community at large sees in here.
Right.
On there.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about the Pride Parade coming up, and that last year, Hatch took a trip to Dallas. And, boy, that was fun. But I think in Dallas what we saw was there were more feminine people that I saw, but I also didn't get to see all of our Pride Parade because I was in it. So I don't know if this is completely true, but I saw a lot of feminine things and people at the Dallas Pride Parade, and our Pride Parade, a lot of people kept telling me it was too political. And what I keep thinking is, yeah, like you said, on TV shows and in the news and everything you see, the gay Pride Parade is still that picture of this one guy in this dance costume who has his hands, one behind him and one in front of him, is doing a leap and a twirl in the middle of the air. Yeah. Like, that's what you see, I mean, as Pride.
First of all, the thing about that, though, is in Dallas, from what I understand, their Pride Parade is put on by the bar owners. And it's strictly for...
It was taken over by the Dallas Tavern Guild, if I remember correctly.
Right, that's it.
And because they were the ones who were, you know, who were willing to sponsor and get the stuff together. It's also in October when the weather's a lot cooler. They do it closer to National Coming Out Day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which was part of the decision that a lot of, that, you know, we here in Houston did of... when the Pride Parade used to be Saturday or Sunday afternoon, and they decided to change it to the evening time parade.
Thank God they did.
To get it out of the heat. So, I mean, that is just part of that. But I do, if I remember correctly, it is an organization called the Dallas Tavern Guild.
Yeah, I think that was the name of it. But, I mean, the thing about the Houston parade, though, if people say it's too political, it's put on by a strictly gay pride group with a gay agenda of advancing the gay community. So it probably would be a little more political.
Yeah, well, they try to sanitize the image of being in the gay parade. There's certain things you can do, there's certain things you cannot do, there's certain things you can wear, there's certain things you cannot wear.
Right.
So they do, I think, actively try to present a particular image of the gay community. And I don't know if I think that's right or wrong, actually.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. They haven't First of all, I drove in it last year, and for a long time during the lineup, it wasn't actually how it was in the parade, but in the lineup, I was behind a drill team of drag queens. It looked like the guys from the football team in cheerleaders outfits.
My boys are girls. They still don't have they don't have those events in your schools anymore?
No.
Oh.
But I mean, so it's not been like totally censored or anything. But I mean, I've read the rules. It's like you have to wear square cut shorts. You can't wear like underwear. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because that's just saying, hey, this is a public place. There's no reason to be lewd and obscene. You know, I think a dress code is, I don't think that's censorship. I think it's just saying, like, we're in public, don't act a fool.
And it's also saying, you know, that, in my opinion, gay people, typically, or GLBT community, asks for a lot of rights. And when they feel the least bit censored, they get very upset about it. And, you know, straight people can't have a parade and wear all kind of obscene things.
If it's
so
legal, if it's straight legal, of course they can.
Exactly, but and so the can pride gay people.
Parade. Well, the pride parade is actually more restrictive than the definition of street legal.
Well, one thing you also have to realize where people do have those issues with the pride parade is if you take a step back and look at what we're doing, we are going to be commemorating a riot, is what the Pride Parade is about. We are commemorating the time that a bunch of drag queens and hustlers and other people who were tired of being pushed around and arrested and had their name, their address, their employer's name in the newspaper saying, we picked up John Smith of XYZ Corporation at a gay bar committing a lewd act. And for one night, whether it was all because of a funeral earlier in the day, but for some reason, someone in that club said, enough. We're not going to take this crap anymore. And they came out in the streets, and the little number of cops that came down to do this little raid at this little mob-owned bar got their butts whipped. They had to hide in the bar until reinforcements came. And then the next day, the cops said, we're not going to let these queens show us up. And so they brought out a bigger police force. But little did they know that it wasn't just drag queens and hustlers. The lesbians came out of their bars. The gay men came out of the bars and said, we're not taking this crap anymore. And started with the slogan, out of the bars and into the streets.
Yeah.
We're commemorating 3 days of a riot by people who, even in our own community nowadays, are outsiders. The hustlers, the cross-dressers, the drag queens. That's what this whole thing starts off by. And that's what some people are so about is, you know, we didn't get to where we are today by sitting and playing by the rules for all those years. It took violence to stand up and say, we're not going to take this anymore. And it started momentum from there. Because prior to that, everybody was that. The organizations that were trying to get gay rights, the men had to wear suits and ties and have the short cut hair and be clean shaven when they went to go talk to these people. The women had to wear the dresses and look all, you know, feminine and all that. You know,
yeah.
Nowadays, we have transgendered activists going by the busload to Austin and to Washington, knocking on these people's doors and saying, we deserve an equal share of the American dream. And that's what this all started from. That's why a lot of these pride parades, you know, are still in the bar districts.
Yeah, well, ours is even in somewhat of a bar district. I mean, there's a lot of the clubs and the bars and
I mean, that's the thing,
all
is
that when we're going down.
Everything else, all the other parades, have been moved to downtown. You know, that same little route, you start off at, you know, the George R. Brown, you make a loop around a couple of the streets and come back.
You know, but would it be as fun if it was downtown? I mean,
no.
The gay pride parade is still a celebration, a day where gay people can say, hey, this is my little holiday. This is my day, and I can feel good about who I am and go out and have fun with my community. Sure, I think we pay homage to what happened in Stonewall, and we pay respect to that historic moment, and we should be proud of that and be presenting a good face for that and respectful and everything, but it's still a party, and it's still a time for us to have fun.
And there's been a lot of talk about this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a thing that came out. You know, somebody, I'm not sure where this article first appeared on that, but it went to this one group. Somebody sent this thing. And here's one of the lines from it. Pride is not and should not be Mardi Gras, characterized by drunkenness, drugs, debauchery, and outrageous behavior. That is not who we are as a gay nation, and that kind of behavior works better on Bourbon Street and in frat houses.
Well, see, I don't know. I think, I mean, I kind of agree with it. It's a celebration, but it's also not, you know, it's not us all out there saying, hey, you know, the only thing we want to present as being gay is outrageous behavior and lewd acts.
Yeah, but how much of it is the politicians who show up once a year for these events, you know, who come in, you know, hey, there's a camera crew there, I'll show up and show that I care about these people.
Yeah.
Actually, I think having seen the politicians who are in the parade and knowing a lot of them very personally, the ones who actually care enough to be in our parade aren't like that.
But see, then you know, that's the beginning crew of the politicians. I'm talking about the politicians who come later on with their campaign signs.
Oh, like the ones running for office?
Yeah, you get those. That's where I can see a lot of people saying, you know, this is getting politicized. You got this. You know, you have all of these church organizations that are in there.
Well,
and some people, you know, that's not, they may not, you know, correlate with that. There is some hardship with some people with religion. Even if it is an organization that's
right,
friendly to our community, there still may be that stigma that some people might have because of, you know, just because you guys are nice, you know, the people who you are representing in your organization doesn't care for us.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think it's a big risk for anyone running for an office to be in the Pride Parade, because of what gets shown on the media. Yes. I mean, if you're talking, okay, like Pete Kors, who ran for Senate in Colorado against Ken Salazar. And Ken Salazar is a great senator, but he beat Pete Kors basically because Kors he's from the Kors family who owns Kors Brewing.
Yeah.
And he was running on this whole anti-gay platform, and Ken Salazar went out there and he said, look, this is a parade Coors Beer sponsored. This is their float with half-naked men dancing in a pride parade. Is this man really anti-gay? If he's so anti-gay, why does he keep giving money to pride parades? Why does he keep putting his product and his message and his people in these gay places? And he lost because of that, because it showed, I mean, it's a risk to take when you involve yourself with a pride parade. And it takes courage.
But see, Coors is in the pride parades and all that because they are trying to recoup from the boycott.
Exactly.
That was very successful against them.
But at the same time, it shows, I mean, it's really hard. It's a risk you take when you enter a pride parade.
Yeah, but, I mean, well, he wasn't in the parade, was he?
Well, no, he never was.
But the thing is, if someone's in there with the politics. But let's go back to what, I mean.
Right.
I'm not one of the hatchlings. So
when I think of pride, the last thing I think of is the parade.
Yeah.
When I think of I am proud to be gay, and I find none of it really represented in the parade. I'm proud to be gay because of the work that I do for the community I'm a part of.
Yeah.
I mean, other than this, I'm a white Protestant man. So I really would have no community. But because of it, I have a community, and that's why I like being gay. Because it gives me a sense of identity that otherwise I would really be lacking. And...
Oh, come on. Wasps are always welcomed.
Right. And I know. But...
there's a country club out there waiting for you.
It's just like my twin brother, who is straight, has nothing. Like, he talked to me about this once. He's like, you know, I really have no community I belong to. And, like, it's true. So, like, if it weren't for this, I would have no community. And that's why I'm proud to be gay. But, like, I don't think of the things that go on at a pride parade as being something that I'm proud of. I'm not ashamed of it. But when I think of pride, I think it's something that represents
the community.
What you have accomplished. And, yeah, it's a lot that we've accomplished, the fact that we can have a parade. But like, it's just not my idea of pride. What do you two think? We've been talking. Amber and Sean. Mm-hmm. Okay, Sean, have you ever been to a pride parade?
Yeah, I was your last year.
Yeah, he helped build the float last year.
Have you ever been to or in a pride parade? See, I've gone every year since I was 14. Okay. Which is probably why I am the way I am today. But, no, I'm kidding.
Are you going to give him more time to talk?
Yes. Let's ask him a question. So, were you in it, or
well,
did you
like,
just go to
I have
to
a question. Okay, like, Hatch's float. Okay, our float was, like, one of the first ones, right?
It was, like, the 23rd or 27th.
But all the stuff that came after it, they wanted to get all the clean stuff out first, right? So they could bring all that other stuff in, right?
I think it's based on when you get your application in.
Yeah.
Yes. And who you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of had me puzzled.
Well, what do you think about the whole idea of the Pride Parade and all like that?
You asking me?
Did y'all have a question you were trying to figure out that I had stepped out for a second?
No, for Sean.
Oh.
What do you think about Pride Parade and what it means?
I don't know what time does it last. Like, I stopped, like, I know this sounds weird, but, like, the whole gay pride thing, it's just, like, for me, it's just, like, I'm just me, and I'm just gay, because I really don't know what to look to anymore or look up to anymore, because everything's just so, you know?
Well, that's what we were talking about earlier, how a lot of youth... seem like they don't really know, or they don't have good role models in the gay community. And I'm not saying there aren't any, because I think there are some, but there are a lot of youth who don't know of them, who don't know about them, and all they see is Boy George 20 years, or 10 years ago, or whenever, you know.
The
see,
like, culture I'm club out of this, we will fight.
You know.
It goes back to, like, how y'all were talking about, you know, the way some dress and the way some act and stuff like that. It's like me, I'm not book smart or know a lot when it comes to gay knowledge, you know, and all that stuff. And it's like, but then again, I don't want to be like the other side where they're all dressing femmy and acting like that, because I don't think that's what it is either, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So me, I just decided, I was like, I'm just me, I'm gay, I'm gonna live a life, you know? I'm not gonna look into any of this, but it's like, I don't know, you see the stuff on the floats, you know, everything, like you said, it was like the clubs and the bars, and you see the floats that are in the parade and all. It's like, some are half-naked men, some are drag queen cheerleaders, some are all this other stuff. Oh.
And in our parade, there are no half-naked men. So.
Well, like, I saw, well, like, no, there are beach, like, floats, and I saw the energy, yeah, floats, and I saw, I mean, guys in thongs on
poles. They're in bike
stuff.
Shorts that come to about mid-thigh.
They're in bike shorts, or some organizations that they'll put on body paint, so technically
and
they're covered.
Because that's as far as they can go. I think if there was no restrictions, they would have gone farther, you know? So,
but see, it, you know, for those of you who haven't been to a pride parade, there are more than, you know, just politicians and churches and bars. You know, so organizations like Hatch, the Colt 45s are on earlier. They give you an idea of an organization that is helping out the community in a certain aspect.
Well, I mean, you got Hatch, Montrose Counseling Center.
Legacy,
you got
the Clinton, or what used to be the Clinton.
AIDS Foundation Houston, you got
Continental.
P-Flag.
Right. Continental's Shell.
J.P. Morgan Chase usually has a representation.
ATV started last year.
The Harris County Democratic Party. The Log Cabin Republicans.
The Young Democrats.
That's part of...
Well, the Stonewall Democrats or is that what they call themselves? Stonewall?
Yeah, there's not really one right now.
I don't know.
Well, university groups, gay groups, they are part of the parade.
The Global was part
Globo
of the
Globo and
Rice, whatever their group is called, I don't remember.
I forget, you know.
some of the GSAs are, I think, we're going to supposed to enter this year, so them too. But so you have some groups fighting for causes, but you do have some groups that are there for show and to sell their products and their business, and that's, you know, one thing.
Well, let's put it this way. You know, the official media sponsor of the Gay Pride Parade is not us. Not the station. It's the CC station, and they'll be out there, and they'll be shooting off, you know, their koozies and their t-shirts to everybody so that you listen to them and listen to that two-hour watered-down crap that was on earlier this evening. Whereas we're going to be out in a station wagon, and one way or another, we're going to be strapping Jimmy to it and going down the road.
Yeah.
Because that's the sort of stuff that, you know, we're a part of that. KPFT is a part of that flow. I've been to most of the Pride. I think I've been to all the Pride parades since we started in the nighttime when I came out. And the majority of them, I've been in them.
Yeah.
And the majority of those, I've walked. And it's an amazing thing, that the power you get from being in that, being a part of it. And for those who aren't sure about coming, look at it this way. It gives you a chance to see the community and blend in anonymously with 100,000 people.
Or more.
Or more. Or less, whoever you listen to. You get to blend in, and you're not there because you're gay. You're there because you're just watching a parade. You wanted to get some beads.
See.
And that's the sort of thing that, that gives people this opportunity, is that, you know, this and Halloween gives you a chance to come down to the Montrose, see the neighborhood, get a little taste of what it is, and, you know, decide whether or not there's part of the community and see some of the organizations out there and realize, hey, there is somewhere out there to help me, you know. There is, you know, there's a segment of the community that has a float on there. If you're a gay or lesbian parent, there's an organization for you. If your kids are gay, you know, you can find a PFLAG out there. That you can, you know, connect with someone and say, hey, I just got to remember that organization's out there, and then try and find them.
Yeah, but I think some of the confusion is that some people come down here as their first gay experience, and then if they do see frilly stuff, and then they see the politicians, and that might be a turnoff to some people. But, you know, I think it's also important for everyone, really, to understand that there is more to the gay community than just Pride Parade.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a heck of a lot of nonprofits who sometimes aren't in Pride Parade. I mean, you got the Chamber, the Black Tie Dinner, Hatch, AIDS Foundation, like all those things that we mentioned before.
It's not free to be in the parade. It does cost money. So some nonprofits look at it and say, hey, you know, I can help my organization, I can help the people who we help, or we can be in the parade and get a little bit of visibility.
Yeah.
And there is those sorts of choices that that are made by organizations. But it gives you a chance that, you know, think about it. If you don't want to see the politicians, the parade starts at 7:45, don't show up till 8. Because the politicians go through first.
The coolest part.
Huh?
But that's the coolest part.
Yeah.
I always look to see who's there. I think it's a cool part, too.
Yeah. It's... I don't know, man. It's changed.
Who was the first one to be in the parade? Do you know?
First politician?
Yeah.
I know the first mayor was Lee Brown.
Really? Wow.
I believe he was the first one. But, I mean, Lee Brown did several things. I mean, I was at a breakfast that he called with community leaders one year. So, in his wonderful brown tracksuit.
It's
formal attire. But yeah, the number of politicians are, they're more than just local now. You know, there are the national ones. So, I mean, if you're not interested in seeing the politicians, you know.
Show up at 8, 8 show, 15, you know.
Yeah, show up a little late, you know. Later. There's going to be a throng of people. Map out your spot where you want to go. You know, if you're there for the beads, you need to go west. Be earlier in the parade when everyone's throwing them out, you know, down by the school where the parade starts.
Right.
You know, if you don't want beads, then you need to go hang east of Katz's and you won't see diddly.
That's right.
Well, yeah. They're all gone by then.
They're all gone by then. But like I said, it's a thing where you can, you know, hide in the shadows, see what goes on. If you want to see protesters, it's man,
Hugo's.
I see. Before it became Hugo's, it was perfect. You know, the protesters always stood out in front of the building that's now Hugo's. Now they are across the street from Hugo's. But see, before Hugo's, that place sold toilets. there's a plumbing supply store, so there was all these toilets. So it was perfect to have the protesters out front there, all five of them.
Yeah, there wasn't very many last year at all.
I didn't see any last year.
Yeah, there was like,
which
we
shocked
saw
me
15.
Because last year,
less than that. I think there was from like 7 or 8.
Well, they're there early. They don't stay for the whole parade. You know, and actually, from what I've seen of some of the pictures that people have posted of the protesters, I think they leave early because some of those guys need to get in line and get into the body and paint and makeup.
Oh, seriously. I came so close my first year going to trying to get one of their numbers.
Oh, I'm sure you were.
Yeah, I was talking about that earlier. Someone was putting a picture up of a grandson of a very famous homophobe. And it's like, you know, if someone can convert Fred Phelps' grandson over to our side, they'll be Grand Marshal of any parade they want.
pretty much. Anyway.
Sean, you had something you were going to say.
Come on. Don't be shy.
Okay. So, like, okay, you're talking about the people that are in the parade, and then those who come for the beads and all that stuff. But it's like, what do they really come for, you know? Because, like, when we did the parade last year, okay, I so got, like, fessed up for this while the parade was going on, but okay, we're all holding signs. There was like no shame in being gay and all that stuff and the second wave stuff and all that, and like I was holding a sign, you know, a lot of old people, like old ladies and old men and all that crap, and the families and all, they were like, you know, praising the signs, and we're like, yeah, you know. And then I lifted up my shirt to a few hot guys, and they yelled even louder for that, and like, I don't know, that kind of disturbed me. Not, you know, that.
Well, it is still gay pride parade.
What did,
John.
What did you want to happen when you lifted up your shirt? Did you want them to look away?
I started testing it, you know? Going down while we were watching
I suspect you lifted your shirt up because you wanted the acknowledgement.
See?
You wanted,
but then
the
I thought about it, and I was, like, holding the sign, and compared to that, it was like, wow, you know? But I guess more people will go crazy over that. Still, it's like Hatch, you know?
But, you, I mean,
but that's not what Hatch is about. I just like to say that.
Yeah, it's not a dating service.
Or a strip show.
Yeah. I mean, some people think so right now that it is. That's okay. But
no, it can't be because that guy hasn't called in yet. He's been calling for the past 2 weeks, wanting to know when you guys are going to be on.
What?
We've had this guy calling the past couple of weeks. They're, is Hatch on this week?
Well, no, maybe they're just wanting to know about... It's a good show. Maybe they just want to hear the show.
Yeah, Brendan.
Why not?
I wonder if this is the same guy that wanted to stay in the car while we watched it.
At the car wash. That was fun. One of our customers came to us, and he asked me, he was like, so how many boys do you have washing cars today?
Oh,
and I was
four or five.
And he's like, oh, well, I want them to wash my car.
So oh, no.
Way to be gay. Thanks.
See, I went in the corner trying to be sexy and holding up a sign. So I thought when no one was looking, I'd throw water all over me.
And it looked like he peed on himself.
Because my shirt dried faster than my shorts.
I remember that one.
What?
It was great.
He drove by?
He weren't there.
But, I remember him... Maybe that's different pantsing episodes.
He does it a lot.
I see all these guys driving by, and I'm thinking I'm cute and stuff. And I'm like, yeah. And
then they're like, car washes make me excited.
Yeah, like, I didn't know what to do. And, like, all these guys are pointing and stuff when they're driving, and women, and they were smiling. I thought, hey, I'm cute. They want to come get their car washed. When really, they were pointing at my crotch, so.
Because it looked like you'd peed yourself.
And then I thought, hey, make this a good situation. Come get your car washed. It gets me excited.
So, it was funny.
Advertising to the gay community.
Here. Marketing yourself. It's a great skill. Nice. So we're back on subject.
Yeah, but so what's wrong with having fun at the gay pride parade? What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having fun. I think that when fun turns into potential harm to you and other people.
Like what? Like how?
Okay. If you are so drunk and messed up that you can't walk straight and you walk into the middle of the pride parade, you know what? That's hard.
Well, that's an extreme. I mean, that's true of any situation, any given day.
I know, but, okay, when you're at a parade and a gay pride parade, there's a lot of alcohol.
Gosh, who gets drunk?
My thing
early?
Is this.
No,
if you're wearing a skirt that's so short that your business is hanging out of it,
wait, how can business hang out
then
of a skirt?
You should probably...
Sweetie, there's guys.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I just... It's a double-edged sword. because while I'm not going to tell people they shouldn't do it, well, I will tell them that. While I won't expect them to listen, because they shouldn't have to, it still bothers me. Like,
shouldn't do what?
Like, I just wish people really had a little more empathy to the fact that, hey, there are cameras around, and I'm going to end up the poster child for what Middle America sees as the gay community. Therefore, I'm going to behave. Like, I just wish people had a little more respect for that. And they don't. And, I mean, I can't make them. And I don't think we need to censor ourselves to please the rest of the people.
Well, that's the thing, is, you know, you're expecting someone who's going out and having a good time to go out to enjoy themselves. You're expecting them to be a role model for our community. And it doesn't happen that way. You know, I mean, you go out to have fun, you don't want to be... You don't expect that to have to be your legacy. What you have to be is, you know, the role model that, you know, whatever I do out there, I might be the poster child.
Well, I don't think that we're exactly saying we are going to be the poster children for gay community everywhere, you know. But I think that I know me and Travis particularly are pretty well known in the gay community. I mean, he's well known because of his activism and his governmental job. And I'm well known because I've done a lot of things in the community, and Travis for other things too, but we're not going to talk about that. But, I mean, there are things in the gay community. There are things in the gay community that, you know, we all do. And some people, I think, have this mentality, like me and Travis, that, you know, when I go places, I try to act a certain way because I don't want to put people off to the gay community because they see me in a certain way. That shouldn't be that way. And now, gay pride parade, that's one thing where that is a time to go and act crazy. But when you're dressing how most people, the Smirnoff float last year.
Yeah.
If you dress like that every day, everywhere you go, that to me seems like a problem. And I'm not saying
but the Smirnoff people that were dressed the way they were there as an advertising tool.
Well, that's true. But there are some people who... Okay, I know people personally who do dress similar to that every day. And that's, I think, what me and Travis were talking about earlier tonight. And that's what I... And, you know, I have a personal misunderstanding of why people can be that way sometimes. However, I can be a raging bull dyke sometimes, too. And, you know... There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at Travis, and he looks like he's speechless.
Travis speechless? I've never seen that.
She just said everything I ever wanted to say. I agree with Pam for the most part. I just wish people would censor themselves.
But, you know... Gay Pride Parade, that's the one day that a lot of people go out and have fun, let all hang out, not literally, but...
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes. But we can really have fun. You know, I don't think straight people have this conversation where they're going to Mardi Gras. I don't think... college sorority girls have an issue with how am I going to represent the sorority
but they don't have as much at stake.
That's true.
And also the fact that when we were starting this conversation, it wasn't based on Pride Parade, and we're talking about people who dress like this every day.
That's right.
And that I wish people would censor themselves for somewhat, because if I'm going out into a public place, I try to dress appropriately, only because I think that's a good thing to do. And let me put it this way. If I was a business owner, or if I was, you know, a politician, or if somebody was coming to me for something, and you looked like a little, I hate to say it, queen fairy, coming up to me asking for something you want from me, I'm less likely to give it to you only because you don't look the part. I'm not going to trust somebody who doesn't look like I can trust them. Do you know what I mean?
Of course not, like, but...
And some people dress like that all the time and present themselves that way. And, you know, some people feel that that's, you know, who they are and that's how they want to be, and that I do understand. But... there are times when I think it's appropriate and needed to say, you know what? We need to take a stand in a more professional way.
Yeah, but, you know, when's the last time you walked into a professional office and you saw some queenie fairy sitting behind the desk chewing gum with a big colored wig? You don't. Because those people who want to present themselves dressed that way go for jobs that are more appropriate for that setting. If they wanted to have an office job, a CPA job, a whatever, they're going to dress more appropriately and get at that particular type of job. Well, my gay community, I want to be more open and free and less judgmental. I think that's one of the positive things about being in the gay community.
Yeah, and, you know, that's true, but I'm just saying, even when you go to work for a nonprofit and you're saying, hey, you know what, for example, AIDS Walk. I went to AIDS Walk this year, and there weren't a lot of people who were really queenie, but there were a couple. And I'm thinking, okay, we're trying to say, let's prevent AIDS, let's help people who have AIDS get, you know, with their medication and try to get better and try to make them feel not isolated and all of these things. Let's make it better. And when you have people that, yeah, you know, entertainment, great. But, I mean, gay men's chorus, they were entertaining, and they weren't extremely flamboyant. I mean, it's the gay men's chorus, but they still weren't extremely flamboyant. But with those few people, it sent a message that, okay, I look at them and I think, oh, they're the entertainment for the day. Not, oh, this is okay for what we're doing. Do you know what I mean? Because when you're in the media and saying we're working for a cause, in my own mind and in my own opinion, there is a certain rule.
The argument could be stated that those are people who represent their communities who are going through that struggle. So they're saying, I look like you. You can identify with me. We're having the same issue.
And that's acceptable, too. I mean, I'm not saying it's not acceptable in any way. I'm saying I can understand that. It's just I have this thought that I think a lot of people in the gay community have and just won't say it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm
sure.
A pretty blunt person, so, you
but
know,
see,
I'm
the screaming Nelly queens that you're talking about aren't going to get out of bed at 9 o'clock in the morning to go walking down Allen Parkway.
Of course, they were up too late the night before. You know, Saturday night, Sunday morning, you know, come on.
Let's be politically incorrect about it, and let's...
let's be blunt. Come on, let's just go.
They're not going to put... But, you know, I've did some of the AIDS walks in the past, and you know, there were people in fairy wings prancing on down the street.
And I think that makes one statement to say, you know, everyone has this fight, and you know, the people in fairy wings have that fight too, and so they have a great right to be there and everything. It's just, like I said, in my own mind, I have this standard, which, you know, kicks me in the butt sometimes, because sometimes it's a bad thing to have, you know? It's a bad thing to expect people to act a certain way, you know, but I still do, and I think a lot of people
We're not the stereotypes that everyone sees, you know?
No.
We're not, you know, but unfortunately, it's the stereotype that everyone gets to hear.
But I still think stereotypes do not exist unless they were made and people saw that,
yeah.
You know what I
There's
mean?
There's a foot in reality when it comes to stereotypes.
So,
yeah.
As annoying as it is, and as old as a stereotype can be, and as, you know, unrealistic as it seems now, it was a stereotype and it was the reality once. So we can't hate stereotypes because they are somewhat true, but we don't always have to love them either.
Yeah. You know, we had a PFLAG guest speaker at Hatch one year that said that she wished that one day that there would be a light, a yellow light or a green light or something that would show on every gay person in America. And at first, I was taken aback by that. I was like, that would be awful. But then I realized what she meant by that was, so you could see middle America, all of America, or the world could see that gay people are right next to you. They're your coworkers. They're your people who you bank with. They're the people who your lawyer, your doctor. They're normal people, everyday normal people.
Yeah, I read something
about those are the ones that a lot of straight America or the straight world don't see. And I thought that was pretty profound.
I remember recently I heard something about that. Some gay activist said,
"Oh,
that I wish everyone was born lavender who is gay."
Oh, I don't. Now, I was reading a thing in The Advocate where a woman started, every time she checked out at the grocery store, she's like, this is a lesbian's money. Here you go.
Yeah.
There are groups like that.
A lesbian just shopped at your store.
Yeah.
What was the name? There was a group here in Houston that used to do that. They would had business cards printed up saying, your business was just seen by, you know, a homosexual.
Right.
And you leave this card there. If Jimmy Carper ever shows you his checkbook, it is pink. It's got a pink triangle on it. And it says, you know, it actually has a promo for After Hours wherever time we were at, whenever he bought those checks. I mean, there are checks you can get that have the HRC, the P flag, group out of, I think it's Austin, called Lyric, which is their equivalent to Hatch, has a set of checks that, you know, you buy these checks, they kick some of the money back to that organization.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So there's that sorts of things. Yeah, one thing we could do is the African American community does a part of that on Martin Luther King Day. The philosophy is to show the power of your community economically, you don't shop that day. But they say if you do shop, they want you to pay with $2 bills or Susan B. Anthony dollars.
Right.
So that when you're when they're counting out their drawer, you know, and they're looking at their normal list of, you know, pennies, nickels, dimes, all this other stuff, you know, where do I put a $2 bill in that list?
It's just too bad we can't have $3 bills.
Well, you can, but if they accept it, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, I just think it'd be so much fun. I mean, like, where's the $3 bill? You know, you walk in, you pay with a $3 bill. I mean, I do that, though. Like, I buy my gas from Shell.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're the only gas company that doesn't have one problem or another. And one of the, like, one of the ExxonMobil, horrible on gay rights. So,
well, half since of them the merger, are. Half of them are.
Well, since the right.
Yeah. Exxon was good.
Yeah.
Mobil wasn't. And when they joined, you know, the Mobil people
right.
were a little louder and
but
said, you know.
Shell, BP, unfortunately, there's no BP gas stations in Houston. There's like one way out there.
No.
Chevron is pretty good. And then, you know, there are problems with Valero and Sitka that have nothing to do with gay rights. But, I mean.
The one thing, but see, you know, it's part of that stuff is with boycotts. You know, you talked about Coors Light. You know, it took a while. The boycott seemed to work. You know, they put some more money into the organization. there was a boycott for years of Wendy's.
Yeah.
And now they've recently turned around. They're going to start putting on, doing benefits to their GLBT employees.
Oh, and Cracker Barrel. That was a very effective.
Cracker Barrel, yeah.
Now they've completely turned around
have
regarding
they?
Yeah,
that's
they really
crazy.
Have.
Yeah, I mean there was a HBO documentary that had that showing, you know, some of the protests. I mean, they showed a termination form from Crackle Barrel saying this person was fired because they're gay, and it's perfectly legal.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And they've changed around from that because they were showing one in Atlanta, and you know, Queer Nation came out and did a lot of protesting.
Yeah.
And it got that part changed. So,
yeah.
You know, things don't happen quickly anymore, you know. You know, Lawrence v. Texas took 2 years to get through, a year and a half to 2 years to get through the system.
And that's fast.
Yeah, I think everyone basically rolled. There was a lot of rollover on that, you know. The local level politicians kind of conspired and said, you know, we'll just let this go through the fast track and let it go to where it needs to go.
Yeah.
With that said,
a lot of good people worked on that one at the very.
And we're getting ready for the third anniversary of that historic ruling that came down from the Supreme Court. Not bloody likely it's going to happen nowadays, but.
So. Good thing it went through a few years ago, huh?
Yeah. So, where are we at? Stick a fork in, y'all, you're done, or?
We could go on for hours.
Yeah, we really could. We could go on for hours.
Next about issue, prom. Please.
Well,
Like I said, however you want to do it, if you guys want to, you know, see there, I don't know how much my group's out there to do anything of round table talks, and I don't even know if I've got any round table stuff to do.
Oh, this table's round.
It's just we throw out news stories. We I don't know if I've got anything here. Talk about Batgirl.
Oh, yeah, Batgirl.
Or is it Batgirl or Batwoman?
It's Batwoman. Batgirl and Batwoman were two totally different characters.
Yeah. I'm still trying to find this Catgirl that Brandon had mentioned on it.
Batwoman is being resurrected back from the dead. She was killed off in 1979. Wasn't that it? 79?
I don't know those details.
Okay. You were alive then.
Are they making a movie or what?
No, they're bringing back the comic book series, which I'm not a big DC fan, but and they're making her a lesbian, just out of simple diversity, they say. They're like, there's no other reason than the fact that we don't have a gay character, so here you go.
Wow.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
New role model for all the lesbians. I mean, dang.
Xena Warrior Princess, which is one of my favorites.
Deb's favorite joke is, what's the difference between a lesbian and an elephant? 10 pounds on a flannel shirt. Now, you take this stereotype, and then you take Xena Warrior Princess, or Batwoman, or any of those superheroes.
Xena was a lesbian?
There was a gay following. It was implied that she was a lesbian.
So gay guys loved it, and she was butch, so lesbians loved it.
And they did start buying into it. There was a special I saw that they said, well, you know, once we realized we had this lesbian following, we played it up.
Yeah,
and it was heavily implied. Did a song for them, so yeah. You know it was gay.
Yeah.
But I mean, you have the two different stereotypes of, you know, you had the old lesbian stereotype, the dyke stereotype, and then you have the new let's be fit superhero stereotype.
I think it's funny that the first...
Well, you're not going to have a housewife superhero who's going to come out as a lesbian. If you're going to have a superhero come out as a lesbian, they're going to be
that. I think it's interesting,
you know,
though, that the
I'm
first...
I'm going to be a housewife that comes out as a lesbian, all right?
I think it's interesting that the first major comic book figure to be openly gay is a woman. Like, I think it speaks volumes, really, about, like...
lesbians ruling gay men's up.
No, they figure Main Street.
Whoa, there's the whole Batman Robin thing,
well,
which you could argue.
That is not true.
But that's not.
But the fact that
yeah.
But I think what
because Bruce Wayne dated.
Yeah, but there was what it could be coming down to is the fact that if they're going to throw out a gay character, you know, there is that mainstream stereotype of the straight people, straight guys, who don't mind lesbianism.
Yes, that's
but
right.
hate gay.
Yeah, hate gay men.
Wait a second.
Don't like that idea, but they like the lesbianism idea, and so that's going to get the hook in there.
Right.
See, but Batwoman, is she going to be like the equivalent of like a male superhero? Is she going to be saving chicks? And is she going to be rough and hard and all that? Or is she going
to
be like? Real
She'll have enough accessories on her utility belt to handle any.
Oh yes. Yes.
Oh.
Travis. Actually, I think there is a gay male superhero, but. It wasn't a mainstream superhero.
Silver Surfer? No, it wasn't Silver Surfer. Please don't let us get sued by Marvel. I don't know what it was. Someone mentioned it last night. I just can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know what it is either.
I mean, it was you know, popular thing that came out at one point there. Okay, that screwed up. Okay, I'm sorry. I clicked on the wrong search area, and I get to another part on here. I'm talking about gay comic characters, and then someone mentioned Blossom from the Powerpuff Girls.
Oh. Nice.
No,
wasn't that Buttercup?
Buttercup, yeah. I'm sorry, I got it
wrong. Actually, you know what? The Advocate did a thing last month about superheroes and the gay community, and I'm an X-Men fanatic. And I was watching a thing about the making of the third X-Men. And Captain Picard, whose name
is Patrick Stewart,
thank you.
Who plays Xavier.
Was giving an interview, and he said, I really think that
the gay community has a lot to identify with X-Men. And I think that X-Men, more than any other comic book series, really applies to the gay community, because it's this portion of society that is shoved off because they are born different, and there's nothing wrong with them.
Right.
They some of the people, their mutation is not out in the open. You know, so they can hide it when they want to. They can be out with it when they want to. There is that kind of closetingness.
Right.
You know, now they found the cure for it. And where was the one thing in here?
That was a really challenging part of the movie. It was like, I started thinking, if they came out with a cure for gay people, would I do it? And I mean, no, I wouldn't. But...
Well, you were thinking about going to the ex-gay camp.
Solely as a social experiment.
You were?
Well, I think about those,
yes,
who would do it, just
I
because
really
you're
was.
Not gay anymore.
I think I would, because I want to see if they can hurt me.
I don't think they could. In fact, I know they could never
hurt. Hey, there's a lot of hot guys that at this
I want to go.
Yeah. And
just because,
go
just because they can, there was a cure, or they can convert you to not be gay, doesn't mean you can get a girl.
Thank you.
Or a guy.
But no, I wanted to go solely to see what it was. I mean,
I did the same thing when they came here 2 years ago for to do that event down south. I went and
Love
One Out. I went in with such an open mind that some of my friends were secretly taking bets on whether or not I was coming back to the gay community afterwards.
That's great.
Because they were really seriously going, Chris, you know, it's not like they're going to have to force the Kool-Aid down his throat. You know, Chris is coming with his own mix there to make his own. There was one part with a gay thing someone sent here that actually Ian McKellen helped write the one scene where one of the characters came out and told his parents that he was a mutant.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yeah. That one was really good, where Bobby Drake comes out to his parents, yeah, and they say, have you tried not being a mutant?
Right. Mystique had some great lines in there, too, when they said, you know, you could look any way you want. Why do you walk around like this? And her line was, because I shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great line, too.
Yeah, there was a lot of the stuff of what people have seen through the years with the X-Men. You know, they have that relevance to our community.
Yeah, I think that's
true. You know, not just the storylines, but... You know, I always used to tease it was the Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. I'm the older generation, you know. I said, you know, sometimes I feel like the Fantastic Four. Sometimes I feel invisible. Sometimes I feel like being stretched in all directions. Sometimes I just feel tough, and sometimes just feel flaming.
Well, I would like to, you know, to kind of talk about the question we had earlier about if there was a cure for being gay, then would you do it? So I think we should go around and kind of say our answer. And then we should start with Travis, because he's a loudmouth.
Absolutely not. 100%, I would not even consider it. There is, at this point, no stigma in my mind about being gay.
Okay.
Not toward myself, at least.
Can you move any further away from the microphone to emphasize that?
What's that?
You were so far back, I'd crank your microphone all the way up there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Have pride. Get him to that microphone. Get it. Let people know your pride in it. Because we actually talked about this a little bit last week, the ones that were here. It was like, do you think the older generation or the younger generation would take the cure if it was available?
I don't know. I think I would maybe think about it, because I was talking about this last weekend, that I'm thinking about being straight, just like acting like it, you know, just like living a straight life, because in some ways it really is easier, but in another way, I mean, I have a lot of identity with the gay community, but I also, you know, before I came out, I was very involved with one of the church groups that I was a part of, and, you know, so I could always go back to that as a community, but, So I don't really know what I would do, but I think if I could go to a camp to see if they could convert me, that I might try that, because it wouldn't then be like a for sure definite thing, you know, just to see if they could do it, to see how much really there is about being gay and all this stuff. So I think I would try it if it was something that I you know, that I could try with an open mind, but that I know wouldn't forever change me. So I don't know that I would take a potion, but I would certainly consider maybe going to a,
reproductive therapy.
Yeah, a gay camp or an ex-gay camp, because I was reading an article in a magazine called Charisma. It's a Christian magazine, which I still get from my Christian speaking days. And it was this girl who's in there. She was an out lesbian, and her mom sent her to one of these camps. And she's like, no, I'm changed, and my life has changed, and all this. And they do a follow-up, and the girl still has very, you know, a lot of gay tendencies. But she's straight. So
it's not reparative. You know, it's repressive.
One of the people who came to Houston as part of the Love One Out conference, I thought was Mary Chaney upon first glance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really,
oh,
like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Melissa Freiwear.
Yes, Freiwear, yes.
Wore a tie and a suit like a man, short cropped haircut, claimed to be hetero.
Oh,
which
yeah.
just goes to show
yeah.
there's no way to act or not act gay or straight.
Yeah, I interviewed her. She threw me for a loop. I had to tear a page out of my questions because I thought I had her. Of, you know, is it a choice? And I had a page full of follow-up questions, and she says, no, we don't think it's a choice. It's like, damn.
The only people it's a choice for are bisexuals.
Oh.
Okay, before we step into... Before
okay, before we step...
Let's finish
the before we step into anything, you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, listener-sponsored, commercial-free, Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Coolness. Okay, so, Sean, what would your answer be to that question?
If I would take the cure.
Yeah. Or if you would consider going to a gay camp.
Yeah, I would.
You would take the cure?
I think, I don't say this in kind of being gay, I say it personally for me as a person and the way I see things and how I deal with things. And I'm mostly insecure at times with a lot of things and the way I look at other people. And I feel like I have to be like that in all, you know, all aspects, everywhere I go. And I can't most of the time. And with being gay, I'm around, I know, you know, I'm around a lot of people who are, I just feel like there's a lot of things I can't be. And I think that comes with it, you know. And that's a terrible way to think, but that's just how I am. I'm very insecure like that. And I think it'd be much easier. I wouldn't have to be like anybody else, you know? Mm-hmm. Or I think I could just be me and be happy, but that's my problem. I can't do it. And I think I would go to the camp, predict a cure, try to, you know, if there was.
Well, Sean, you still can do all those things.
That's just me. Like I said, it's me, how I deal with things and how I...
But that's part of the nature of how some people are, you know. One of the reasons why some people thought when I went to the Love One Out thing that I would convert is the fact I was saying, you know, I'm already miserable and depressed. You know, why not be straight so I can avoid getting the lead pipe up against side my head?
See, it's like what Travis said. Like, he said that these people tell him that because he doesn't wear this or act this way, he's not gay enough, you know? I feel like I'm looked down on because I can't have certain things, or I can't be with certain, you know, hang with a certain crowd, or I can't, you know, I'm happy with who I am. I think I'm a good person. I'm happy with my friends and everything. But I just feel like crap sometimes because of that.
Do you think it's just because of
straight people too? There's always going to be judgmental people. And like, even if I were straight, I would still be looked down upon because I didn't wear nice clothes and because I didn't act a certain way and think a certain way. I'm just, the only thing I was saying with that was, that doesn't make me not gay. I mean, there's still going to be the in crowd, no matter where you are. And part of the reason I wouldn't take a cure is because I can't find a boyfriend, but I'm not going to find a girlfriend and settle down and marry her right away, even if I were straight. Like, it's just teenage angst BS, you know? It does not stem from gay or straight. It's being young and, yeah.
Hormonal, yeah.
And human.
So, Amber, what do you think?
What was the question?
Would you take a cure for being gay, or would you go to an ex-gay camp?
I'd probably go to an ex-gay camp just to try it out, but I don't think I'd...
Take a cure?
Take a cure.
I want to go to one just out of sheer curiosity.
Hatch should raise some money and send 5 members, and I will be a part of that.
Well, this should be a documented.
First of all, I've heard it's a great place to meet guys.
Like, did you all receive because I'm a cheerleader? Great.
Yes. But I'm a cheerleader.
We watched that at Hatch. Here's a shameless plug of Hatch. Hatch has movie night every now and then.
That's right.
And that was one of the ones we watched a couple months ago.
That's the first gay movie I ever saw.
Really? It's very
good.
Yeah,
I brought it to your house. May I watch it? Oh, but you'd seen it before.
I had seen it when I was in 8th grade. That was the first thing ever I'd even seen of gay.
I don't believe in reparative therapy. I just really wanted to see what they teach. Well,
I've read some of their suggestions when they want a couple to get married, a man and a woman, a lesbian and a gay man to get married. There's some suggestions they have. One is that you try not to have sex for at least a year. The other one is that, they were just hilarious. I wish I could remember them all. They were ridiculous. I think another one was that you don't French kiss initially.
Mm-hmm.
And this is after you're married, mind you.
Right.
Another one was for the women to not emasculate their men by doing certain things, and they need to do, make the beds, clean the house, make the food, so that they don't take away that maleness from the man. I mean, it was just
ridiculous. Like, I read the book from the Love One Out conference. A friend of mine went to it.
Oh, yeah.
All I did was go and leave rainbow stuff in the parking lot the night before because I was mischievous. But a friend of mine went, and he brought back this book, and I was looking through it, and it was almost like they were coming at it from the theory that gay people were not around before women started working. I mean, that was what I got from it. Am I wrong?
I'm trying to remember, but yeah, there is a lot of this stuff of, you know, it's
the nuclear family.
Yeah, the emasculated, you know, homosexuality is caused by women at work, absentee fathers, you know, all the stuff they say what breaks up families nowadays.
Right. It's like if it weren't for television and MTV,
there would be no straight people.
There would be no homos. It was very strict on this. This is the role of the woman. Uh-huh. This is the role of the man. This creates good children. And it was totally like they were turning this blind eye to gay people who were raised in perfectly functioning homes.
Right.
I mean, Rock Hudson was gay. You know, it's not like he had a mother who was a career woman.
My mother stayed at home while I was growing up, then when my younger brothers were born, she worked. So she was the absentee working mother. You know, they're straight. I'm the fag.
Yeah.
Actually, I think homosexuality is more caused by rabid Republican conservatism.
When my father, when he was younger,
he had the long hair, he was the hippie, the peace love. As soon as the hair fell out, so did his liberalism. And so, you know, now that he's a staunch here, I'm his punishment. You know, you know, Mary Cheney with Dick, Chastity Bono with Sonny Bono, Phyllis Schlafly's son, Newt Gingrich's sister. You know, that's what causes it.
So, Brendan, what about you? If you're part of the older generation, or older than us at least. Well, I mean, you know what? You're a little older than us, so you know what? This is the truth.
Yes, that is the truth. I'm very proud to be a little bit older.
How old are you?
At all. I'm in my 30s.
Really?
Yeah.
What is happening? Nothing.
That's it.
Back to the question.
Back to the question at hand.
Absolutely, positively not. Being gay to me is more than who I sleep with. It's a part of every part of my being, and I absolutely would not. In fact, I've even thought about this. If there is such a thing as reincarnation, and if we can influence how we come back, I would even want to come back as a gay man again.
You know, it's interesting that you said the whole thing about it being part of everything, because people don't really understand how much your sexuality can affect that. People are like, well, it doesn't affect everything, it's just who you sleep with. Well, no, I wouldn't have my job if it weren't for the fact that I'm gay. And I'm not saying I was hired because I'm gay. Please don't take it to mean that. I mean, I would not have met the people I have met
you wouldn't have taken the path you were if it wasn't.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and that's how
we're all sitting in this room because we're, you know, gay or bisexual or when we have the trans segments.
Right, and I don't have the gay friends I have because they're gay. I met them because we're all gay, mm-hmm. but that's not why we remained friends.
Yeah. Well, you know, and even still, there's a lot of things in everybody's life that I don't think would have happened had they not been gay or straight. Because, I mean, in my situation in particular, I want to be a public official in my future, and I think that might have remained the same, but I don't think that how I would have gotten there would have been the same. Because, I mean, I'm active with the Chamber, the Gay and Lesbian Yellow Pages, Hatch, you know, a number of other organizations, and some of the ways that I'm getting to where I am is by knowing those people and meeting them because I'm gay.
Yeah.
And getting scholarship money because I'm gay, and doing all these, hopefully getting scholarship money because I'm gay, you know, all these things. So I think it has to do with a lot of aspects in your life. However, I do think there are some aspects in your life that it doesn't affect, like the music you like, or sometimes the certain clothes you wear. Now, sometimes that does affect it. You know, I don't know that I would wear boy shorts a lot if I wasn't gay and didn't think it was acceptable, you know, if I still lived in Beaumont. But I don't.
Gay people have better fashion, usually.
My fashion sucks.
Never understood that. It's always puzzled me, like, where does that come from?
Hold on, the lesbians or the gay men?
Same with the gay men.
Yeah, like, you know.
They're so,
you know,
fashion conscious. Like, I just don't understand where that came from.
Because
I think it's because they're freer to experiment and try things. And
I think that, but I also think that
the day they came out with a cutoff shirt.
But I disagree.
Well, no, I think that, but also that they have to prove themselves, so they have to look good and be conscious of what they're wearing and how they look and make sure that they're going to be accepted. So if you don't look a certain way, say, okay, Brendan is dressed in a, you know, pretty professional, at least, you know, business casual.
JR's kind of crowd.
And, huh?
Just explain it. JR's kind of crowd.
Okay.
Picture JR from a Saturday night.
Well,
you're a bar queen.
But, actually, I'm not. I never go out.
But, I mean, if you picture, like, what Brennan's wearing, you know, nice jeans or nice pants and a nice shirt, then you have that kind of picture of a gay man. And he's probably conscious of what he's wearing because of what kind of feeling he's giving out to other people, what kind of ideas people are going to get by looking at him, what kind of impressions he's giving.
I try to do casual elegance.
See?
That's the look I'm trying to go for.
I mean, I understand this sort of thing. I mean, I'm not petite.
I mean, I'm fat, you know.
Okay, and very simple, you know, I can't be, you know, I can't do like how the type of people that Travis doesn't like, because, you know, Tommy Hilfiger doesn't know how to write that many X's.
Oh.
Right. Okay. He stopped making the bigger sizes, you know. We're the bigger ones. We're the wise that he can actually fit Hilfiger across the chest instead of just Tommy. I don't wear those sorts of things. But I was brought up enough of the way I dress that, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, in a shirt that I could go do a job interview, a dress that I can almost go do a job interview at for a casual Friday kind of look. That's my normal appearance of having that thing. And I mean, that's, you know, that's how people are. Some of it is how they're brought up, and you think, you know, they can be a little more flamboyant, but there's part of me that's, you know, there is a bit of a demure. I'm not going to be the one wearing the tight, sparkly shirt.
Well,
I've got one.
Well, I mean, they're like,
shut up.
Now I'm speechless.
Amber, you know, like Amber would dress some sort of butchy, not to be mean, but kind of dykey. And, you know, I dress really feminine. But that doesn't mean a heck of a whole lot sometimes, because, I mean, I wouldn't dress this way if I were going to a softball game, you know. And I don't think that most lesbians would dress quite as much of like a dyke as they might on another occasion if they're going to a job interview. But, you know, it's just things like that. It's, a lot of people are conscious, and they feel like they have to put on a show all the time, because if you're not accepted for who you are really, then you have to... Some people feel that you have to put on a front so that you can be accepted, and if that's how you look or how you talk. I mean, heck, I was in eighth grade. I had my favorite teacher of all time, Miss Elrod, when I was in eighth grade. She was the most influential person in my entire life, I think. And whether or not she's gay is still a puzzle to me. I think she is, but I don't know. But
let's not out people on the radio.
Huh?
Let's not out
people. Well, she's from a different city. She's not here.
She's from a different state right now, actually.
Okay.
But, you know, she was still influenced me, and she does to this day. I still talk to her. And if I... you know, have a problem with how I talk, I try to speak in correct or at least appropriate grammar. And some people don't. But, I, you know, that's one of the ways that she influenced me, and one of the ways I carry myself is to talk appropriately, to dress appropriately, and to do things like that, to have good manners and be polite. And some people just aren't that way. Travis, and things
Whoa.
Like that.
Just because I go for the roll out of bed look rather than the casual
exactly.
elegance.
You first met me and how I dress and how I
oh,
dress now.
Oh gosh.
See, tell me, because I'm really trying to remember that. Like, I remember...
On the radio, really?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm serious. Go ahead.
You were one of those people that me and Travis aren't too fond of.
That we're talking about tonight?
Yeah.
I think they're calling you the fairy.
See, I was. I remember I used to wear the tightest...
Titus. I remember used to wear the tightest stuff I could find, and the first thing I looked at in the mirror was the butt I don't have. And think, does that bring it out? Because I wonder if they're going to be looking.
But the thing about that is that you went to dressing not so feminine, and now you're going back and acting more feminine.
Stop. Leave the boy alone.
But no, like, so, are my clothes, like, right now...
okay. There's nothing wrong
no,
with
it's No, it's fine. It's just that there's that transformation, and, like, you were insecure whenever you dressed... very feminine, at least as you've expressed to me in the past. And you felt a little more secure in who you were and just, you know, I don't give anything, you know, to give a care in the world about what people are thinking about me, so I'm going to dress how I want and how I'm comfortable. And now I think you're trying to, or now you, it seems like you're trying to get back into that, hey, let's let people look at me, let's
yeah.
let
that's
people
what you're
see what I'm
to
doing.
Do when you're young.
You yeah,
need to
it
find
is.
Find your voice and find out who you are.
But that's what I'm saying, like, some people might dress a certain way because either they want attention or they want people to look at them or
See,
they're
I
insecure.
I stopped dressing the way I was and acting the way whatever. I was, and I'm still trying not to act like that because I didn't like the attention I was getting, and I think there's a part of me that knew what was, you know,
mm-hmm.
what I was doing and how I was getting it, and it just doesn't feel good.
You know, the opposite of what you're saying of what he was wearing doesn't, you know, isn't as much, you know, this very, I consider what you, the way you were talking about what you're saying, is club kid. You see that even in the straight community going out to the dance club, of wearing that tighter outfit, of being more flamboyant and open, so, because that's what you're there for, is to show off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if that's where you, if that's what the part is and how you change, I mean...
See, now I just, I didn't want to feel like that anymore. I don't know, you know?
Well,
it's just like
people
it's insecurity kicking in. With
and them, that's
you know?
Fine. But see, there's also, you can get attention, and you can get the wrong attention, too. And see, I think that earlier we were talking about some of the younger youth who are dressing the way that they are, it's, they're getting the wrong attention. Because... I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the way they're dressing, but because of, well, I kind of was, but because of the way that they're dressing, they're getting attention that at the age they are, they shouldn't get.
But they want
because,
it because they think it's,
well,
that where they are right now, the area they're in, they think that that's what it's all about.
Their mama didn't give them no home
training.
I know,
but one thing that, okay, I am totally not against age differences in relationships, but... when you're 14, you shouldn't... Yeah, I
you shouldn't be chasing after...
a 35-year-old guy.
Of course
or
not.
Or you shouldn't be letting him chase after you.
Of course not.
And if you're dressing that
if you
way...
are, I can
and
tell
you're
why it's not good.
And, and if you're dressing a certain way, then that's the message you might be sending. And so
well,
I'm saying...
you could also be sending that message to other 14-year-olds.
That's true. That's true. It's very true. But it just seems like... with my own experience and experiences of people that I've talked to and that I know, it sends the wrong message to certain people, and they get attention they don't either want, they don't like it, And that doesn't happen to everyone, but it happens to a number of people. So I think that by at least letting people know, you know, sometimes that does happen. So just be careful of what image you do give off.
Okay, I like, just don't understand who lets their kid leave the house like that.
Like, I know it sounds kind of messed up, but, okay, me, here's how I see it. When I see someone around that age or whatever wearing a short shirt or who's a boy and acting really femmy and all that, I think about, God, he's really annoying. And if I, you know, if he were to bug the heck out of me, I'd probably, you know, swing him across the face. Only because that really bugs me. But I wouldn't do that because that's wrong. But I'm saying, I think about it and I'm like, if I were straight or if that just really annoyed the heck out of me, either way, whatever, it's like, you know, you wonder why they talk about how, oh, I got picked on today, or I did this and that. And I'm sorry, but that's going to get your butt kicked. I don't know, that's just me. I'm like, I mean, that's what I had to deal with sometimes, and I learned to get over it, you know?
The wrong intention, like I was saying. I mean, if you go to school and you're a boy wearing a purple sparkly skirt and, you know, like a see-through shirt with fake boobs and a bra on, you're gonna get picked on.
And express yourself as much as you want, but
exactly.
There's no guarantee that you're not gonna get your butt kicked. I'm sorry.
I mean, that is an extreme case. But if you're gonna go that far with yourself, you have to know that there are consequences, and as bad as that sounds,
no, you're right.
Societal consequences. I'm not going to persecute you, but the person next to me might.
In that
not
example,
Travis,
there's safety issues too.
Might.
And no, it is like, safety really, because
I
would
will
you
straight up tell a boy to go home and butch it up a little.
I've done it before. As much as somebody's going to tell me I'm gay, but if someone's going to tell me if I were to just act on it or just say something really mean to them, they want to tell me, well, you know what, being gay, you have to be open-minded yourself and see this. I'm like, no, it's just, to me, it's just, no, you don't wear that. You don't go out in shirt like that. You're a boy, you know? I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just me. I'm just saying.
That's one of my favorite comments within the gay community is that because you're gay, you have to love everybody who's gay. And my response is, you know what, I might be gay, but I don't like you. Or, you know what, if I were straight, I don't have to like every straight person. And I, you know, as much as the unifying theme or unifying idea of being gay is having a huge gay community, a queer nation and all this, fine and dandy, but you know what, we have a straight nation right now and they don't all get along either.
There are always going to be people I just like, whether you're gay or straight. As I seriously once had a guy tell me that, like, I should just deal with this little hustler kid because he was gay and he was part of our community. And I'm like, the kid is a prostitute. Like, that has nothing. Sexuality was gone out the window a long time ago. Like, we're now on a totally different issue, and I don't have to accept this person just because they're gay.
But if the situation is that he's out there doing that because his family threw him out and abandoned him, and that's all he has to go down and get a meal or to get a house, a room to get out of the heat.
Survival sex.
Survival
sex. Right. Okay, I mean, like, I take pity on them, yes. But, I mean, I don't know if that's the case we're talking about here. What I'm saying, though, is I refuse to accept the statement of, you have to be open-minded because you're gay. And I feel like that's what's pushed on me a lot, is this whole idea of, well, you're gay, why aren't you more accepting? Well, you know, that doesn't... Being gay is not this totally different being. You're still a human, you're still a person. You just happen to have sexual and emotional feelings for someone of the same gender. And while, yeah, I did say that it could affect your whole life, I don't mean that it is a totally different way of life.
Yeah.
And
I think
you still
I
have standards.
I think I have more empathy because I'm gay for other people and people in situations that are vastly different from mine.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I would be that way if I were straight too, but I think that is one of the things that being gay allows you to be able to do, is to step into other people's shoes a little bit more.
Right, downtrodden people are downtrodden people. for whatever reason.
And so, and, you know, sometimes you have to understand that. I was with a friend of mine who had a lot of problems. He was out of jail. He was living in a basically a shelter halfway home sort of thing. And we're going into a grocery store, and some guy was out front trying to sell some probably fake jewelry. And my friend just went off on him. And I said, wait a minute, you know, that guy's homeless. He's trying to do whatever he can to get money. And let me explain something to you. You're not that far above him to be looking down on him. You know, you screw up a little bit, you're out of that halfway home, and you're, if you're lucky, you're in jail. If you're not lucky, you're on the streets.
Yeah.
I said, you need to understand that, you know, there's that little bit of, you know, be careful who you're, who you step on the way up, because you never know when you're next to them again. So, yeah, I mean, there is a little bit of empathy, yeah, I mean, someone in that situation. Because, you know, this, you know, the last month, well, the stories came out on that with on Channel 2, you know, showing the people, you know, I was kicked out of my house because I was gay, and, you know, I'll do what I have to do to survive. You know, that's a common storyline with that. And unfortunately, unfortunately, we get that situation. You know, I'm worried about a friend of mine who I've chatted with who is hell or high water. He wants to talk to his, he wants to come out to his father. He's already come out to his mother. And he is scared of what's going to happen. And I haven't heard from him in 2 days. And I'm worried of what situation he may be in. If he did decide, you know, this is it, I'm coming out to him, what could happen?
Well, I think it's always important when somebody's thinking about coming out to... I hate to say this in a negative way, but warn them of what might happen. And that really does sound negative, but a lot of bad things do happen when people come out.
Yeah.
You know, getting kicked out, getting physically hurt, emotionally, mentally, all sexually, all of these things.
Parents may be paying for college, and that might stop.
Yeah, and one of the things we try to talk about at Hatch kind of often is the quote-unquote consequences of coming out. And one of the things I think people don't understand is that, yes, it might be, like, we had a kid the other, about a month ago, come in and talk about, I want to come out to my parents, I want to do all this, but I think I'm going to be kicked out of my house, and I'm pretty sure of it, and I'll have to take my little cousin with me because their parents died, and all of this extra baggage. Mm-hmm. And we kept trying to explain that that might not be the best route.
Right.
Like, I mean, if there's that much extra baggage that your whole family would be in disarray, you might not want to come out. And as freeing as that might feel to you, it's when not. You put other people in that situation, I mean, yeah, it's about you because it is your life, but at the same time, you're freeing yourself, but you're hurting everyone else. It's not it's a
selfish.
Good thing.
Yeah. I waited. Sometimes there's a time and a place.
Yeah.
I waited until after I moved out. I was in my own apartment. And I came back and told my family. And the reason why I came out to them was the fact that I lived out in 290 and Highway 6.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was living with my parents still, you know, they wondered, you know, some Saturday nights I went out. They know I got drunk. They didn't know where I went. They asked, you know, we had this bar around the corner that we, the family went to quite often. And they asked, and I wasn't going there. And they kept asking me, and I would say, nowhere. I went out. That's it. And when I moved out, it got to a point where I was scared of, I wanted to be the one to tell my family before I'm having to explain why I got a DUI on the Katy Freeway, because I was coming down here to the gay bars, going to JR's, and, you know, getting a DUI on the way home, or worse, I'm sorry, your son was killed because he was drunk and went off the freeway. Well, what was he doing downtown? And then find out that way.
Yeah.
And that was the reason I came out, was because I felt it was responsible enough to tell them, you know, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, you know, this is why you don't, you know, this is where I'm going out to. And then eventually, you know, the activism stuff came in.
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, with, I used to be with a group called Q Patrol. I did that, now with the radio show. My family knows I do these things.
Well, see, and that's a good happy medium to where you can be you can say, I've been here, I've done this, I've lived this life, and now I'm here. I've moved on. But the thing that people, I guess, sometimes don't realize is that it takes time. Mm-hmm. To be able to move on.
Yeah, my father did not. When I would go over, when my mother invited me over for dinner for the past for several months after I came out, my father wouldn't come out of his bedroom mm-hmm. and eat dinner with me. And part of that was the fact Eastern European culture, I'm the eldest son of the eldest son of the only son, blah, blah, blah. I'm the one who's supposed to carry on the family name. Mm-hmm. So there was a bit of that part to it. So it took a while for him to, you know, grow, you know, start to accept a little bit more about it. And it's, you know, it's a challenge for him with a lot of these things. You know, when I went to my first Pride parade, you know, and they found out, my dad found out that I went to the Pride parade just to watch. He was like, oh my God, he wasn't in it. Yeah, mm-hmm. My brothers and sisters, like, and my brothers and I said, yeah, should have told him, said, yeah, they pick a name for whoever, the first people who come out that year, they pick a name, and he's the Grand Marshal. I walked in the next one mm-hmm. that I was at. You know, when he called up, wanted to know where I was, why I wasn't coming over on the weekends. And I had to say, well, I'm seeing somebody. Oh, was that? I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, that was very fun.
And then a couple of months later, he's inviting him to dinner.
Yeah.
So it's a progressive thing. You have to look at where you're at in your safety barrier. And unfortunately, you know, my friend would love to participate in Hatch. Unfortunately, he's stuck out in way out suburbia mm-hmm. with not a way to come in.
Yeah, a lot of people have that problem. With especially getting the Hatch, and hopefully that changes
soon. Because Sean and I are the only two gay people living within the loop.
In Hatch, the only ones. Oh, really?
Yeah,
I think so. Pretty
I think
much.
They're pretty much.
No, Ivan and I went to high school together.
But Ivan,
he has
what?
There's Ivan.
One of the
hatchlings.
Yeah, but it's one of those, yeah, it's, we're so such a spread out community.
Yeah.
The young ones, I think it's something in the water in Clear Lake.
Queer Lakes. A thing.
Queer Lake. Queer Lake. Queer Lake, okay.
Queer Lake. It's not that bad.
There are so many.
It's not that good.
It's, well, no, I mean, like, yeah. They're either all out. It's either that everyone there is gay, or all the ones who are gay are out. Because when I was in high school, there were 3 out gay people. I mean, there was one we always knew about, but he wouldn't admit it. Now he's Hatch. But
come on, yeah, like, Clear Lake High School.
A lot of them didn't actually come out till GSA form there.
My ex-boyfriend went to high school out there, and he knew like 20 other people in his high school who were gay.
Well, yeah, don't get me wrong. I know a lot of people from there.
There exactly. were a lot of
There's
people.
There's something in the water out there. I'm
I also
you.
Know a hell of a lot more that are straight.
You can say that word.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure. We yeah. messed up earlier. So.
Tip our horse awake watching, listening. Sorry.
But I mean, I don't remember. God, it's sad to think now, right? That, you know, I don't remember that many out gay students, but then again, you know, I was.
When did you graduate high school?
1990.
Wow.
That wasn't that long ago.
I was supposed to graduate in 89, but I had to return a year. I was on a 5-year plan.
Oh, I graduated in 89, too.
Well, I was like 7.
Oh, good, so that answers the age.
I was 2.
No, there you go.
I was like, yeah. Was
good, because you had me worried there. I thought I was the old one. we're closer in age than I thought. Yeah, I know.
Travis is yawning.
Yeah, that, you know.
Who cares?
It annoys.
Yeah, who cares about Travis?
You know, that scares me now when I go through and remember back when I was in high school, I used to referee soccer games. And I used to do some of the kindergarten kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the year that they were born, because that's how you classify the ages. Yeah. And now I'm sitting there going, oh my God, that person's now 23. It's like, makes me feel a little old.
Oh, yeah, my niece is wearing a training bra these days. And I'm like, whoa, I remember when you were born. Take that off. Quit playing around.
And stay out of my clothes.
What is a training bra?
Yes, pretty much.
It's like, I don't know. I don't understand it. I'm not a girl. I couldn't tell.
Oh, good Lord, you're going to pull one out. let's give a quick reminder of Hatch and the Hatch Prom.
Friday, June 9th.
Yeah, Friday, June 9th at
the historic Magnolia Ballroom
at 7 p.m. until 12 p.m. If you need more information, you can call the Hatch line at 713 529-3590, or you can go to the Hatch website at www.hatchyouth.org.
And it's free if you're under the age of 21?
Yeah, 20 and under is free, and 21 and over, it's $25 to get in, so, you know, come
and
see us.
Is that person or couple? Just because people may want to
per person.
Know. Per person. Okay. Because, you know, you're going to have that person come in and say, you know, this one's under, this one's over, it should be 12 and a half.
No, it's definitely per person. Sorry, guys.
Just wanted to check on that. So, with information, I did pick up a song that we play a lot of this guy, and has to do with dancing and prom, so we're going to play this. It's a version of Could I Have This Dance?
Oh, nice.
Before we go out, we want to, Hatch wants to say how much we love Jimmy, and we look forward to seeing him again very soon.
Yeah. Hopefully, like I said, he's going to be, he's doing a lot better.
Get better, Jimmy.
So he's, you know, he lost a lot of weight, so he's still out of it a bit, and the surgery and the anesthesia. So he was hoping to be here this week, but he should be here soon. You'll at least hopefully see him somehow on the Pride Parade, you know, if we stick.
Or next month when we're here.
Next month. So it's Kevin Cahoon and Can I Have This Dance? And then we'll be back for the last with, I don't know, we'll find something to talk about. This is KPFT Houston.
Forever, you're all I'll have. Moment mal. Ich bin ganz atemlos. Und in my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a
thought of you and lied. Five short Forgive your fear and your self-loathing. Yes, it seems we're out of place, my lover and I. Especially when the people turn to me and ask, with furrowed brow, exactly how is it that you know the bride? I just sipped my drink and thought of you and lied. Well, I consider the consequences on your special day and circumstances. What was I supposed to say? Because you see, and you should know you've inspired my own commitment. I'm sorry. I envision a world where truth is never inappropriate. And so I solemnly swear, still death do I part. Till the next time it seems we're out of place, my lover and I, especially when the people turn to me and ask, with furrowed brow, exactly how is it that you know the bride? I will sip my drink, clear my throat, and say with pride, well, you see,
Okay, we played a whole lot of music there. It's kind of dying down. I don't even know what all I played. That was, let's hear it for the boy. Dedication out there. I know we played I Boink the Bride by somebody. I don't remember her name, unfortunately. I'll have to go back and figure out the songs we played so we can do it on there. This has been After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener sponsored, commercial free, Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. It's Mr. Schmidt week, right?
Indeed it is.
It's time now for the Mr. Schmidt World Domination
Happy Hour.
Happy Hour. Sitting here looking at a thing, he's talking about Germany and the World Cup and trying to speak German. Boy, oh boy, my Polish ancestors rolling over in a grave. This is KPFT Houston, and now your PSAs.
You're welcome to join us on Sunday, June 11th, from 3 to 8 for a KPFT benefit at Fitzgerald's. Four solo women folk artists will perform, including T.C. Smythe, Janet Z., April Kelly, and Susan Gibson. Susan Gibson wrote the song Wide Open Spaces, made famous by the Dixie Chicks. A $10 donation is suggested. Food will be available from the grill on the back patio, and the music will be awesome. That's Sunday, June 11th, from 3 to 8 at Fitzgerald's on the corner of Studemont and White Oak. Stop on by. This is KPFT Houston. See who.
What's that?
It's a pig frog.
Whoop it up with Galveston Bay Keeper Sunday afternoon, June 4th at Clear Lake Park for the Bay Preservation Jam with Rocky Hill, Viva Los Chewies, Janet Z, and John Townsend Band with Danny D. Your donation will help protect the Bay and its inhabitants. Children 12 and under are admitted free.
Go to galvestonbaykeeper.org. Find out how your support helps protect our beautiful Bay and the fish and wildlife that make it their home.
It's the Frog Symphony, Gray Tree Frog Constrictors, Chorus Frog.
All are residents of Galveston Bay's coastal woodlands.
Don't miss the Bay Preservation Jam.
Let's support all of our local musicians, those with webbed feet and those with 10 toes.
KPFT
Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.